So, in the earlier Sundays, we were discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam Krishna's pastimes, particularly in the 10th canto. So, generally, these pastimes of Krishna are not only in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are in many other Vedic literature which gives a lot more details of pastimes which are not seen in the Bhagavatam. As I mentioned before, that Gargacharya initiated Krishna first time. The name was given to him. Krishna and Balaram were, the names were given by Gargacharya. And as a mark of gratitude, Krishna has given this benediction to Gargacharya that he would be able to compile a great literature which will only depict the pastimes of Krishna and Radharani. This was a special benediction given to Gargacharya by Krishna. This was decided. We will see when we come to 10th canto at the name giving ceremony, Namagaranam ceremony, how it was done and what actually prompted Krishna to give this special blessing to Gargacharya. So Gargacharya in due course, because of the special blessings from Krishna, was able to compile this great literature which is known as Garga Samhita or Garga Bhagavata. So things which we do not find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it appears that there are much more pastimes of Krishna in Garga Bhagavatam. Not only that, unlike in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Garga Bhagavatam does not speak much about the philosophical side of Krishna consciousness. It's mostly related to Krishna's childhood and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavanam. That is mostly it refers to, particularly with the Radharani and the Gopis. So at one time, Krishna was engaged in these transcendental pastimes with the gopis, and Gargamuni mentioned this in the Garga Bhagavatam, that these pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavanam, in his childhood as well as in his adolescent age, gives an insight into that the Absolute Truth has manifested in this work in complete. Therefore, Gargamuni calls Krishna as Paripurna Tamam. Paripurna Tamam means that which has manifested in complete, the Absolute Truth in complete. If you look at Brahmanda Puranam and also in other Puranas like Padma Puranam, you will find, as well as in Vishnu Puranam, there is reference to Krishna's many, many pastimes. But there is no other literature which gives such a detailed pastimes of Krishna like the Garga Samhita or Garga Bhagavatam. So in this Garga Samhita, there are hundreds of pastimes which Krishna has performed in Vrindavanam along with these cowherd boys and along with his brother Balaram. And in one such instance, when Krishna decided to have some good time with the gopis, one instance, Krishna decided to take the dress of a sannyasi. You may not have heard that Krishna has never taken sannyasi according to Srimad Bhagavatam. There is nowhere any reference to Krishna as a sannyasi. Krishna has lived as a brahmachari. Krishna has lived as a grahastha. But after that, you don't find in the Srimad Bhagavatam anywhere Krishna has taken sannyasi later. Although he is the supreme personality who have initiated the Varnashrama Dharma system in this world. In spite of the fact that, but Krishna has acted like a sannyasi once. And that story is in the Garga Bhagavatam. In one instance, Krishna decided to dress like a sannyasi and go to the Vrajam, to the place where the gopis lived. So Krishna dressed up like a sannyasi. The sannyasi's dress means with the Rudraksham mala garland, as well as he had the danda also in his hand. But instead of danda, he also carried a flute with him. And he dressed up so nicely, took out his peacock feather, everything, put some matted hair on the head. And exactly like a normal sannyasi, he dressed up and went to see the gopis there. Nobody could recognize Krishna as a sannyasi any time. No one could believe that. No one never thought about that. Because in those days, it was quite common for sannyasis to come and visit the householders. Quite normal. It was not an unusual thing. So Krishna dressed up as a sannyasi. No one could figure out that it was Krishna who has come as a sannyasi. Only thing was, he had this extra item of flute in his hand. And when he came to the streets where the gopis lived, where gopis were living, Krishna started playing the flute. When he started playing the flute, naturally, some of the gopis who heard this flute playing by Krishna, and they were obviously attracted by the music, sound of it, and they start coming out to look at this new person who is playing this flute. And they saw that it was a new sannyasi who had a danda as well as a flute in his hand. And generally the system is, for a long time, that when sannyasis come visiting the houses, normally young girls, they have this tendency to inquire from the sannyasis two things. They will normally ask them two things. One is about their siddhis, what mystic perfections they have. And the second thing about their nishtha, what are their requirements in spiritual life. Because unmarried girls, normally with the intention of getting married and to get a good husband, normally it was a system that they will please the sannyasis by their service and by their blessings. They were looking for their mercy to find a good husband. So these things were common in the society in the Vedic times. And it was in this background that it was once so happened that Krishna arrived there and the gopis came out to see this new sannyasi. So the first question they put forward to the sannyasi was, what kind of siddhis you have, or other kind of mystic powers you have? And they asked this very politely, these questions to Krishna. And secondly, what kind of nishtha, or other words, what is the kind of activities as a sannyasi he has taken as a routine way of performing his sadhana? This is known as nishtha. So when the gopis asked this question, Krishna answered them very nicely. Krishna told them that generally I have so many mystic powers in me. But one of the mystic powers I have is that I can see what you have in your mind. This is what Krishna told them. Krishna told them that I can see what you are thinking about and what you all desire in your mind. And then Krishna moved on to the sadhana. He said to them that I don't eat any food, nor do I sleep. So this, naturally, seeing all these mystic perfections in the sannyasis, gopis were very much impressed by these new sannyasis. They wanted to serve and ask this new sannyasi how the sannyasi thinks, that what kind of thoughts they have in their mind. So the sannyasi's answer was that you all have only one thing in your mind, and that much I understand, he said. So the gopis were shocked to seeing that Krishna was able to find out. They didn't know it was Krishna. That the sannyasi was able to find out their thoughts about, because they were thinking about only one thing, and that was known to them all. Gopis were constantly thinking about Krishna. And because they were thinking about Krishna, the sannyasi told them that you are all thinking about only one thing. So then the next question gopis asked Krishna was, is it possible to get that person, get that thing what we are thinking about? Krishna said, it is possible, but you have to follow my instructions seriously. And the next thing what Krishna told them was that now if you want to get that person or get that thing what you are looking for, if you just follow my instructions, you will find that person. And Krishna at that point decided to show his mystic power to the gopis. It was then that he told the gopis, just close your eyes and stand there, and the thing what you are looking for will arrive in your friend. And as soon as they closed their eyes, the dress was changed. Krishna was in his normal form, with the three bands, Yamam Tribanga Lalitam Niyada Prakasham Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That three with the three bands in his body, Tribangam, that form with the flute in the hand, with peacock feather on his head. When the gopis opened their eyes, this is the form they saw in front. Instead of the sannyasi, this personality was standing there. Krishna was standing there. Like this, Krishna had innumerable pastimes performed with the gopis in Vrindavanam at that time. And Garga Samhita tells so many interesting pastimes Krishna has performed. So it is one of the interesting literature in the in relationship with Krishna's childhood in Vrindavanam. And Srimad Bhagavatam has become more popular than Garga Bhagavatam for various other reasons. Unlike in the Garga Bhagavatam talks, because it was Krishna's special benediction to Gargamuni, that he was able to compile this Garga Bhagavatam of those devotees of Krishna who wants to hear about Krishna's different earthly pastimes. But Srimad Bhagavatam, unlike Garga Samhita or Garga Bhagavatam, has become popular for various other reasons. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself, because Krishna decided to enter into Bhagavatam at the time of departure from this planet. He entered into Srimad Bhagavatam. That is how it says in the Padmapurana. Not only he entered into Srimad Bhagavatam, that in the age of Kali, when Vedavyas compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, he had kept this one important point in his mind, or in other words, one important principle behind it, that people in the age of Kali, those who have lost the direction of what is life meant for, they will find the goal in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that goal is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is more dear to the human population in the age of Kali. Number one. Number two, in the Mahabharatam, Ramayanam and Mahabharatam, Ramayanam discussed about Lord Ramachandra in detail. And one thing you will notice, that there is no other personality till now in this world who adhered to dharma so strictly like Ramachandra has done. No one else has done adhere to dharma so strictly like Lord Ramachandra has done. And because of this strict adherence to dharma, Ramayanam became a source of inspiration for many, many people for thousands of years. And in due course, when Vedavyasa Muni compiled Mahabharatam, also he kept dharmam in front of everything else. So keeping dharma in the forefront, Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Mahabharatam. That is what you find in the Mahabharatam also, that ultimately it is dharmam that actually protects everyone. That without dharma, if one executes one's life, ultimately it will be a disaster. And this is the story through Kauravas and the Pandavas, they are teaching us. Vedavyas was trying to present it to us this way, that Mahabharatam tells us this story, that Duryodhana had everything except dharma. Duryodhana had plenty of wealth and plenty of people to help him. In every way, Duryodhana had a high standard of material happiness compared to the Pandavas. But in the end, what happened? Everything was gone. Everything lost ultimately. Not only that, he lost all the wealth, but also he had to die a disastrous death at the end. Which shows that what protects one in this world is not wealth. Wealth cannot protect you. What actually protects one is strict adherence to dharma. So in order to stress this point, Vedavyasa Maharshi used Srimad Mahabharatam only with this one point. Throughout Mahabharatam you will find dharmam, dharmam, dharmam. And this dharmam has grown to such an extent in Ramayanam and Mahabharatam. But by the time of Kali age came, this question of dharmam has also become difficult. That is what you can see. That unlike in the Tridayugam and Dwaparayugam, where people were able to perform dharma properly, where because they strictly adhere to Varnashrama dharma, and their strict adherence to dharma helped them in advancing on the path of spiritual life. But when it came to Kali Yugam, even executing dharma has become difficult. And this is precisely the reason why in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam you will find dharma projjita kaita votra paramo nirmal saranam satam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayo unmulanam. Vedavyasa Maharshi was so intelligent and he could see things so beyond the times that he understood this dharma, what I have proclaimed in the Mahabharatam and Valmiki has written in the Ramayanam, is not going to survive in the age of Kali. Because he knew this, he decided, we are not going to discuss that kind of dharma in the Mahabharatam anymore. Dharma projjita kaita votra paramo nirmal saranam satam vedyam. That if one becomes nirmalsara, nirmalsara means free from envy. If one becomes free from envy, he will be able to understand that what is discussed in the Bhagavatam. Whereas there is no dharma discussed in the Bhagavatam. Dharma, Bhagavata dharmam is different than the dharma what is discussed in the Mahabharatam. So that is why Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu Shivadam, that if one studies this dharma what is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, that will help a person. Tabatrayonmulanam. Tabatrayam. Tabatrayam means Adhyatmikam, Adibhaudikam and Adidevikam. These three type of distresses that one experiences in this world are categorized into Tabatrayam. So this Tabatrayam Unmulanam, or uprooting the whole, the distresses of this material life, is that what is achieved by Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is precisely the reason why Bhagavatam has been given the most prominent position among all the Vedic literature in the age of Kali. So you can see different Vedic literatures are written for different periods. Different Vedic literatures takes priority at different times. But in the age of Kali, because of our specific conditions, both materially as well as spiritually, and because that there is no dharma existing in this modern world, that Prabhupada as well as Valmiki and Vedavyasa Maharshi also gave the importance of studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam can take a person, free oneself from the tapatrayam or the distresses of this material world in this age of Kali. So that is where the differences between Mahabharatam, Ramayanam and Srimad Bhagavatam. All three of them are advanced literature in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But because of the special needs of the time, Srimad Bhagavatam has been given the more important than all the other Vedic literature. Age of Kali means that Vedavyasa Maharshi talks in the Bhagavatam how the age of Kali will manifest. That that in the, especially in the 12th canto, Parishad Maharaj was asking Sri Shugan that what will be the symptoms of Kali. And as soon as Sudeva Goswami spoke about the symptoms of Kali, Parikshit did not want to stay here anymore. He wanted to leave. And he did tell Parikshit that it is going to be difficult in the age of Kali. Executing spiritual life is going to be very, very hard. And therefore, the process has been made simple. And the literature also is simple. Srimad Bhagavatam is easier to understand. And at the same time, the principles also involved is simple. And Kalau Doshanithe Rajan Asti Keho Mahan Gunan Kirtanal Krishna Sangasya Mukta Sangaparam Brajel. That one can go back home, back to spiritual world, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, without endeavoring too much in any other direction, which is not practical in the age of Kali. This is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sri Shugan, after speaking all these things, walked out from the scene, left Parikshit on his own, and went back to his own travels. So we'll stop there and we'll start Srimad Bhagavatam now.
Okay. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Thank you. Thank you.
శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం తీలా ప్రవిష్ణం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శిరేశ్వరి శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతపురి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్ కి మాయాపూర్ ధామ్ కి మధురపురి ధామ్ కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్ కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌర ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమో విష్ణుపదాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ్య గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాల్ శ్రీమల్ భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవహి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం నాసోహం తవ కేశవాం భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభోం నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదశ్చార్తేష్వమిత్యస్వరాల్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయాః తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మల్సరాణాం సతాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమల్ భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యనేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభీ తల్క్షణాల్ నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృత ద్రవ సంయుధం పిపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసికా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజంతం అనుపేదమపేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనూ విరహకాతరమాజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయ తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనదోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేల్ కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కొనిదాదృతానందోః మమ వాచి విజంభదా మురారే మధురిం న కనికాపి కాపి కాపి నమః ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ Krishna Prasaya Bhudare Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Idinaminem Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschatya Deshadarine Srimal Guru Charanaravindabhyam Namam Vande Nandam Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishnasha Yasam Harigado Gidam Punadi Bhuvanatrayam Gopi Charanaravinda Paramaname Namam Pidambaram Karavirajita Chakrashankham Kaumodagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Radha Sahayam Adisundaram Andahasam Vatalayesha Manisham Hridibhavayami Komalam Kujayan Venam Shyamaloyam Kumaraka Veda Vedya Param Brahma Bhasadam Puradomamam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Lenghayade Girim Yalkrubatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Om Shri Krishnaya Namah Srimati Radhikayai Namah Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda So in the Srimad Bhagavatam we are coming towards the close of the ninth canto to the very end of ninth canto now, and as we mentioned many times before, that ninth canto is the story of the two dynasties, Solar dynasty and Lunar dynasty, Surya Vamsham and Soma Vamsham. From these two dynasties came out all the other dynasties of the world in due course. For different reasons, due to the crisis that has developed in these dynasties, many people, many princes were expelled from these dynasties, and they went away and they have established their kingdoms outside. And that is how all the other rulers came into existence in due course. Of course, there are various reasons behind all these things, and it is not in the scope of Srimad Bhagavatam to go into the details of all these dynasties, how they came into existence all over the world. But in principle, if you accept Vedavyasa Maharshi's observations on this Suryavamsham and Chandra Somavamsham, or the solar and the lunar dynasties, you can see that how the crisis in the ruling family, in the Kshatriya families, have developed into some of the princes who were expelled from the dynasties, and they went away and they established their own kingdoms outside. And that is how in this so many different monarchies came into existence later on in the history. What we have in the modern history is running to only about 2,000 to 3,000 years history. That's what we have, proper history. But Srimad Bhagavatam can give you a lot more information if you want to know how the different kingdoms came into existence all over the world. The original rulers of the planet, the Kshatriya Vamsham or the Kshatriyas, they had shown or exhibited such marvelous Kshatriya qualities in them. But at the same time, due to the advancement of the age of Kali, and also due to the differences that has developed within the royal families, there was always a difference of opinion between the royal family members, and therefore these differences came about, and in due course different kingdoms also got established. But that is not in the scope of Srimad Bhagavatam here, because Bhagavatam is not going into details of all these things. Sukadeva Goswami himself took extra care not to waste too much time on things which are not of much significance for Parikshit Maharaj at this point in time. At this point in time, Maharaj Parikshit was was actually craving to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That is the topic. And that is the most important topic to be discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Supreme Personality, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's appearance, Krishna's instructions to this world. These are the topics that is discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam from now on, from the 10th canto onwards. But to prepare everyone for understanding this 10th canto, specifically in the 9th canto, Sukadeva Goswami has taken a lot of effort to prepare us to understand Krishna consciousness. Or in other words, the importance of 10th canto, importance of 11th canto and 12th canto, which is all in relationship with Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami has taken extra care to prepare us for that, which you will see when you read through every one of these different episodes in the Bhagavatam. Important kings, their history has been mentioned in the 9th canto of the Solar dynasty as well as the Lunar dynasty. And from both these dynasties, specific instances and the realizations of these Kshatriya rulers, of the kings, how they ruled the earth and what was their understanding of life, these things Sukadeva Goswami has spoken to Parikshit. But before going into, we are getting closer now to the Pandavas and the Kauravas, these two rulers, these who rule this planet, and eventually, due to their quarrel, Krishna had to appear and speak Bhagavad Gita to them. And Bhagavad Gita came to this world because of this quarrel between the Kauravas and the Pandavas. Both of them belong to the same group. That is what we are saying. That we notice that Yayati had two sons from Devayani and three sons from Sharmishta. So these two sons from Devayani, who was Yadu and Turvasu, and then later on from Sharmishta, Druhyu, Anadruhyu and Puru. So out of these five children, we saw that Yadu refused to accept, comply with Yayati's request, as well as Turvasu, Druhyu and Anadruhyu. It was only Puru who accepted and exchanged his youth for old age with Yayadi. And therefore, Sri Shukan says about Puru that he had some good qualities, that he was willing to listen to Yayadi's desire, and therefore he is considered to be a great personality, Puru also. But on the other hand, Krishna did not appear in the Puru's dynasty. You must notice that also. Why? Because from Krishna's point of view, it is Yadu who is greater than Puru. Why? It is Yadu who has actually taken to Krishna consciousness seriously than Puru. Puru was more interested in executing Dharma, whereas Yadu was more interested in going back to the spiritual world. That was the difference. In this world, you will notice often, people in the guise of spiritual life, they will take to ritualistic traditions. And they will take to the traditions of the family, traditions of the world, as seriously as spiritual life. And they will get misled by that often. It is then one has to understand, separate out what is spiritual life in its pure form, what is pure Krishna consciousness means, and how one can develop Krishna consciousness in this world, rather than getting stuck with the traditions of this world. So Yadu was very intelligent that he was able to think these things properly. And he was able to absorb and adhere to the interests of his spiritual life and executing Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna appeared in the Yadu's family. That is why that is mentioned there. Yadavascha dharma shilasya nidaram munisattamaha. That munisattama, he is great. Although a king, he was a great personality as a sage. That was, he is called munisattama, a very thoughtful person. So this Yadu's dynasty was discussed, and now we are going to go into the Puru's family, Puru's dynasty, right up to the age of Shantanu. Shantanu is the king from whom we are very close to. Shantanu means Shantanu onwards, it is Mahabharata story. Virtually Mahabharata begins with Shantanu story. So between Puru and Shantanu, there were a number of kings and their successive dynasties. So before we discuss about Shantanu, Shantanu's life was a very interesting one, and there's a lot of things to learn as well from Shantanu's life. So before we come to Shantanu, I would like to just read that one chapter in relationship with Shantanu's appearance and all the other kings involved, and then we'll discuss that in detail. chapter 9, canto 22. Chapter 22. Just at the end of the 21st chapter, a limited vision into the Pandava's life has been given there. If you look carefully, you will see there, Midhunam mudgalal bharmyam divodasa pumana bhuvil ahalya kanyaga yasyam shatanandastu gaudamal tasya satyadradi putra dhanu veda visharada sharadvam salsudo yasma urvashi darshanal kilam sharastam me badal redho midhunam tadabho shubham tal drishtva kripaya grihna chandanur mrgayam charan Kripa Kumara Kanya Jadronabhatnya Bhaval Kripi. So, Divodasa and Ahalya, they were brother and sister, children of Mudgala. So, this Divodasa, that is where we are now going to chapter, the next chapter, we are going to begin from then on. That here, we are talking about Ahalya was married to Gaudamani, as you know before, we mentioned this before. And Shatananda was born from that Ahalya and Gautama Maharshi. And then from the four of them, Satyadradi was born, and who was an expert in the Dhanurveda Visharada. He was an expert in Dhanuvedam, or in other words, in the art of fighting, Ashari. Sharadvam Stalsudo Yasmal Urvashi Darshanal Kilam. And their children was Sharadvan. So what did Sharadvan do? Sharadvan once happened to see Urvashi. The result of seeing Urvashi was enough. Sharadvan fell immediately for that. That seeing Urvashi, Sharadvam stalsudo yasmal Urvashi darshanal kilam. That seeing Urvashi, he lost his brahmacharyam. That is the way it is mentioned. That sharastambe padal redo mithunam dadabo shubha. That his redas or semen fell into the sharagras. That is where his redas or the semen fell from Sharastamam. Seeing Urvashi, he was so much agitated in his mind, and the semen fell on the grass. And from there appeared two children, Kripa and Kripi. Sal drishtva kripaya krishnam chandanur mrgayam charan. Kripa and Kripi were born, these two, boy and girl. And our King Shantanu was traveling, and when he came there, he saw these boy and girl lying there. He took them both and brought them back. And Kripa Kumara Kanyaja Dronabhatnya Bhaval Kripi. Kripacharya, who grew up and became expert in the art of fighting, like Dronacharya, very powerful warrior, who was unfortunately sided with the Kauravas in the war. And Kripi became Dronacharya's wife. So Kripi became Dronacharya's wife, and Kripacharya was a commandant in the army of Duryodhana. But strange enough, Kripacharya was one personality who survived Mahabharata war from the Duryodhana side, from the Kaurava side. He was the only general who survived that. And therefore, Kripacharya has been given also a special respect by the Pandavas in all circumstances. That you will see also later on coming up. In the Mahabharatam, you will find all these great personalities, Kripacharya and Kripi, who became the wife of Dronacharya, is also mentioned. Now let's read on this next chapter 22, and then we'll discuss about Shantanu straight away. Shri Shuka Uvacham Mitreyuscha Divodasa Chyavanastal Sudo Nrpa Sudasa Sahadevoda Somako Jandu Janmakral Tasya Putra Shadam Desham Yaviyan Prashada Suda Drupado Draupadi Tasya Drishtadyumna Daya Sudaha Drishtadyumnal Drishtage Du Bharmya Panchalaka Mime Yoja Vita Sudo Hanya Kriksha Sambaranastadam Tapatyam Surya Ganyayam Kuru Kshetrapadi Kuru Parishil Sudanu Jaknur Nishadha Shvakkaro Kuru Sudaha Suhotro Bul Sudanu Shashchavano Tatakrati Vasustasyo Parijaro Brihadrata Mukhastadam Kushamba Malse Pratyagra Chediva Dyascha Chediva Brihadradal Kushagro Shavasta Sedal Sudam Jatnye Satyahido Bhatyam Pushpavam Sal Sudo Jahu Anyasyam Chapi Bahyayam Shakale Dve Brihadradal Tema ಮಾತ್ರಾಭಿರುಲ್ಸೇಷ್ಟೆ ಜರಯಾ ಚಾಭಿ ಸಂಧಿದೆ ಜೀವ ಜೀವೇದಿ ಕ್ರೀಡನ್ಯಜರಾಸಂಧೋಭವಲ್ಸುಧಾಃ ತದಶ್ಚ ಸಹ ದೇವೋ ಭುಲ್ ಸೋಮಾವೇರ್ಯಚ್ಯುತಶ್ರವಾಃ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತನಮತ್ಯೋ ಭುಲ್ ಸುರಥೋ ನಾಮ ಜಾನ್ವಾಂ ತದೋ ವಿದೂರದಸ್ತಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಸಾರ್ವಭೌಮಸ್ತದೋಭವಲ್ ಜಯಸೇನಸ್ತನಯೋ ಅಧಿಗಾದೋ ಯುಧೋ ಹ್ಯಭುಲ್ ತತಶ್ಚ ಕ್ರೋಧನಸ್ತಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ದೇವಾಧಿಧಿರಮುಷ್ಯಜ ಕೃಷ್ಯಸ್ತಸ್ಯ ದಿಲೀಪೋ ಭುಲ್ ಪ್ರದೀವಸ್ತಸ್ಯ ಜಾಲ್ಮಜ ದೇವಾಭೀಷಂದನುಸ್ತಸ್ಯ ಬಾಹ್ಲೀಗಮಿತಿ ಜಾಲ್ಮಜ ಪಿತೃರಾಜ್ಯಂ ಪರಿತ್ಯಜ್ಯ ದೇವಾಪಿ ಸ್ತುವನಂ ಗದಾಃ ಅಭವಶ್ಚಂದನೂರಾಜ ಪ್ರಾಂಗ್ಮಹಾಭಿಷಸಂ ಇದ ಯಂ ಯಂ ಕರಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ಸ್ಪೃಶರಿ ಜೀರ್ಣಂ ಯೌವನಮೇದಿ ಸಾ ಶಾಂತಿಮಾಪ್ನೋದಿ ಜೈವಾಗ್ರ್ಯಂ ಕರ್ಮಣಾತೇನ ಶಂದನು ಸಮಾದ್ವಾದಶ ತದ್ರಾಜ್ಯೇ ನವವರ್ಷ ಯದಾ ವಿಭೂಂ ಶಂದನೋರ್ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣೈರುಕ್ತ ಪರಿವೇತಾಯಮಗ್ರಭುಕ್ ರಾಜ್ಯಂ ದೇಹ್ಯಗ್ರಜಾಯಾಶು ಪುರರಾಷ್ಟ್ರವಿವೃದ್ಧಯೇ ಯವಮುಕ್ತೋ ದ್ವಿಜೈರ್ಜ್ಯೇಷ್ಠಂ ಛಂದಯಾಮಾಸ ಸೋಬ್ರವೀಲ್ ತನ್ಮಂತ್ರಿ ಪ್ರಹಿದೇ ಅಭಿಪ್ರೇ ವೇದಾದ್ವಿಭ್ರಂಶಿದೋ ಗಿರಾ ವೇದ ವೇದಾದಿವಾದಾನ್ವೈ ತದಾ ದೇವೋವರ್ಷ ದೇವಾಭಿರ್ಯೋಗಮಾಸ್ತಾಯ ಕಲಾಪಗ್ರಾಮಮಾಶ್ರಿತ ಸೋಮವಂಶೇ ಕಲೌ ನಷ್ಟೇ ಕೃತಾದೌ ಸ್ಥಾಪಯಿಷ್ಯಸಿ ಬಾಹ್ಲೀಗಾಲ್ ಸೋಮದತ್ತೋ ಬುಲ್ ಭೂರಿರ್ ಭೂರಿಶ್ರವಾಸ್ತದಾ ಶಲಶ್ಚ ಸಂದನೋಯಾಸೀಲ್ ಗಂಗಾಯಾಂ ಭೀಷ್ಮಮಾಲ್ಪವಾನ್ ಸರ್ವಧರ್ಮವಿದಾಂ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠೋ ಮಹಾಭಾಗವತ ಕವೀ ವೀರಯೂಧಾಗ್ರನೀರ್ಯೇಣ ರಾಮೋಭಿ ಯುಧಿದೋಷಿದ ಶಂದನೋದ್ವಾಷ ಕನ್ಯಾಯಾಂ ಜಜ್ಞೆ ಚಿತ್ರಾಂಗದ ಸುಧಾಃ ವಿಚಿತ್ರವೀರ್ಯಾಶ್ಚಾವರಜೋ ನಾಮ್ನಾ ಚಿತ್ರಾಂಗದೋಹದ ಯಸ್ಯಾಂ ಪರಾಶರಲ್ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾಲ್ ಅವತೀರ್ಣೋ ಹರೇ ಕಲಾಂ ವೇದಗುಪ್ತೋ ಮುನಿಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣೋ ಯದೋಹಮಿದಮಧ್ಯಗಂ ಹಿತ್ವಾ ಸ್ವಶಿಷ್ಯಾನ್ ಪೈಲಾದಿನ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಭಾದರಾಯಣಾಂ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ಪುತ್ರಾಯ ಶಾಂತಾಯ ಪರಂ ಗುಹ್ಯಮಿದಂ ಜಗೌ ವಿಚಿತ್ರ ವೀರ್ಯೋಧೋ ವಾಹ ಕಾಶಿರಾಜಸುದೇಬಲಾಲ್ ಸ್ವಯಂವರಾದುಮಾನೀದೇ ಅಂಬಿಗಾ ಅಂಬಾಲಿಗೇ ಉಭೇ ತಯೋರಾಸಕ್ತ ಹೃದಯೋ ಗೃಹೀತೋ ಯಶ್ಮನಾಮೃತಾಂ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರೇ ಪ್ರಜಸ್ಯ ವೈ ಭ್ರಾದುರ್ ಮಾತ್ರೋಕ್ತ ಬಾದರಾಯಣ ಧೃತರಾಷ್ಟ್ರಂ ಚ ಪಾಂಡುಂ ಚ ವಿದುರಂ ಚಾಪ್ಯಜಿ ಅಜೀಜನಲ್ ಗಾಂಧಾರ್ಯಂ ಧೃತರಾಷ್ಟ್ರಸ್ಯ ಯಜ್ಞೇ ಪುತ್ರ ಶತಂ ನೃಪ ತತ್ರ ದುರ್ಯೋಧನೋ ಜ್ಯೇಷ್ಠೋ ದುಶ್ಶಲಾ ಚಾಪಿ ಕನ್ಯಗಾಂ ಶಾಪಾನ್ ವೈಧುರುದ್ಧಸ್ಯ ಪಾಂಡೋ ಕುಂದ್ಯಾಂ ಮಹಾರಥ ಜಾಧಾ ಧರ್ಮಾನಿಲೇಂದ್ರೇಭ್ಯೋ ಯುಧಿಷ್ಠಿರ ಮುಖಾಸ್ತ್ರಯಾಂ ನಕುಲ ಸಹದೇವಶ್ಚ ಮಾದ್ರ್ಯಾಂ ನಾ ಸತ್ಯದಶ್ರಯೋ ದ್ರೌಪದ್ಯಾಂ ಪಂಚಪಂಚಭ್ಯ ಪುತ್ರಾಸ್ತೇ ಪಿತರೋ ಭವನ್ ಯುಧಿಷ್ಠಿರಾಲ್ ಪ್ರತಿವಿನ್ಯ ಶ್ರುತಸೇನೋ ಮೃಗೋದರಾಲ್ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಶ್ರುತಕೀರ್ತಿಸ್ತು ಶತಾನೀಗಸ್ತು ನಾಗುಲಿ ಸಹದೇವ ಸುಧೋ ರಾಜನ್ ಶ್ರುತಕರ್ಮ ತಥಾ ಪರೇ ಯುಧಿಷ್ಠಿರಾಲ್ ತು ಭೌರವ್ಯಾಂ ದೇವಕೋಥಗಡೋಲ್ಕಜಾಂ ಭೀಮಸೇನಾಧ್ಯಡಿಂಬಾಯಾಂ ಕಾಲ್ಯಾಂ ಸರ್ವಗದಸ್ತದ ಸಹದೇವಾಲ್ ಸುಹೋತ್ರಂದು ವಿಜಯಾಸೂದ ಪಾರ್ವತೀ ಕರೇಣು ಮತ್ಯಂ ನಗುಲು ನಿರಮಿತ್ರಂ ತಥಾ ಅರ್ಜುನ ಇರಾವಂದಮುಲೂಪ್ಯಂ ವೈ ಸುಧಾಯಾಂ ಬಭ್ರುವಾಹನಂ ಮಣಿಪೂರಪದೇ ಸೋಭಿ ತಲ್ಪುತ್ರ ಪುತ್ರಿಯಾ ಸುಧಾಂ ತವದಾದ ಸುಭದ್ರಾಯಾಂ ಅಭಿಮನ್ಯೂ ರಜಾಯದ ಸರ್ವಾಧಿರಥಜೀರ ಉತ್ತರಾಯಾಂ ತದೋ ಭವಾನ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಣೇಷು ಕುರುಷು ದ್ರೌಣೇರ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಾಸ್ತ್ರ ತೇಜಸ ತ್ವಂ ಚ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾನುಭಾವೇನ ಸಜೀವೋ ಮೋಚಿದೊಂದಗಾಲ್ ತಾವೇ ಮೇತನಯಸ್ತಾದ ಜನಮೇ ಜಯಪೂರ್ವಕ ಶ್ರುತಸೇನಾಮುಗ್ರಸೇನ ಭೀಮಸೇನ ಉಗ್ರಸೇನಶ್ಚ ವೀರ್ಯವಾನ್ ಜನಮೇಜಯಸ್ವಂ ವಿಧಿತ್ವಾ ತಕ್ಷಗಾ ನಿಧನಂ ಗದಂ ಸರ್ಪಾನ್ವೈ ಸರ್ಪಯಾಗಾಗ್ನೋ ಸಹೋಷಧಿರುಷಾನ್ವಿದಾಂ ಕಾವಶೇಯಂ ಪುರೋಧಾಯ ತ್ವರಂ ತುರಗಮೇಧಯಾಳ್ ಸಮಂದಾಲ್ ಪೃಥಿವೀಂ ಸರ್ವಾಂ ಜಿತ್ವಾ ಯಕ್ಷಿಜಾಧ್ವರೈ ತಸ್ಯ ಪುತ್ರಾಶದಾನೀಗೋ ಯಾಜ್ಞವಲ್ಕ್ಯಾಲ್ ತ್ರಯೀಂ ಪಠನ್ ಅಸ್ತ್ರಜ್ಞಾನಂ ಕ್ರಿಯಾಜ್ಞಾನಂ ಶೌನಗಾಲ್ ಪರಮೇಶ್ವರೀ ಸಹಸ್ರಾಣಿ ಸಲ್ಪುತ್ರ ತದಶ್ಚೈವ ಅಶ್ವಮೇಧಜ ಅಸೀಮ ಕೃಷ್ಣದಸ್ಯಾಮಿ ನೇಮಜಕ್ಕಸ್ತುದಲ್ ಸುಧಾಂ ಗಜಾಹ್ವಯೇ ಕೃತೇ ನದ್ಯಾಂ ಕೌಶಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ಸಾಧು ವಲ್ಸ್ಯದಿ ಉಕ್ತಸ್ತದಶ್ಚಿತ್ರಸ್ತಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಕವಿರದ ಸುಧಾಂ ತಸ್ಮಾಚ ವೃಷ್ಟಿ ಮಾಂ ಸ್ತಸ್ಯ ಸುಷೇಣೇ ಉಥ ಮಹೀಪದಿ ಸುನೀದಸ್ತಸ್ಯ ಭವಿದ ಮೃದಕ್ಷುರುಯಲ್ ಸುಖೀನಲಾಂ ಪರಿಪ್ಲವಸುದಸ್ತಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಮೇಧಾವಿ ಸುನಯಾಲ್ಮಜ ನೃಪಂಜಯಸ್ತದೋ ದುರ್ವಸ್ತಿಮಿಸ್ತಸ್ಮಾಜನಿಷ್ಯರೀಂ ತಿಮೇರ್ಬೃಹದಸ್ತಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಶತಾನೀಗ ಸುದಾಸಜ ಶತಾನೀಗಾಲ್ ದುರ್ದಮನಸ್ತಸ್ಯ ಅಪತ್ಯಂ ಮಹೀನರ ദണ്ഡമാണ് ഇരുന്ന് മിസ്തസ്യ ക്ഷേമകോ ഭവിതോ നൃപ ബ്രഹ്മക്ഷത്രസ്യ വൈ പ്രോക്തോ വംശോ ദേവർഷി സൽകൃതാഹ ക്ഷേമകം പ്രാപ്യ രാജാനാം സംസ്ഥാം പ്രാപ്സ്യതി വൈ കലൌ അഥ മാഗധ രാജാനോ ഭവിതാരോ വദാമിതേ ഭവിതാ സഹദേവസ്യ മാർജാരിയച്യുതശ്രവാം തദോയുധായുസ്തസ്യാമി നരമിത്രോ ദദൽസുതാം സുനക്ഷത്രം സനക്ഷത്രാൻ ബൃഹസേനോധ കർമ്മജിൽ തദസ്രതഞ്ജയാദ് വിപ്രാശ്യസ്തസ്യ ഭവിഷ്യതി ക്ഷേമോദസ്സുവ്രതസ്തസ്മാൽ ധർമ്മസൂത്ര ശമസ്തദാ ധ്യുമത്സനോദസ്സുമതി സുബലോചനിതാമതദാം സുനീത സത്യജിതേ വിശ്വജിൽ യദ്രിപുഞ്ജയ ബർഹഭദ്രാശൂപാല ഭാവ്യ സഹസ്രവത്സരം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായം നാമസ്കന്ദേ ദ്വാവിംശോധ്യായ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ We have some many things mentioned in that one chapter. So if you read Prabhupada's purports, there's a lot more detailed verse by verse explanations in the purports. But what's important from that chapter is that, as I mentioned before, from Puru Vamsham, from Puru onwards, right up to Shantanu, they have brought it in this chapter. This Shantanu story is a very interesting story, because Shantanu was not supposed to become the king. That is where the whole story begins. That Shantanu had a brother by name Devabhi. And this Devabhi should have actually become the king in the dynasty. But then how did Shantanu become the king? That is what is very interesting to note. Actually, Devabhi should have become the king as per the etiquette and as per the rules of that time. The eldest boy, eldest prince should take over the kingdom. So in other words, Devabhi was actually qualified to become the king. But he didn't become the king. In fact, Shantanu became the king. And the way whole thing happened was, this Shantanu, by nature itself, he had some special abilities. Shantanu, you'll see there is a mention there, Shantanu Shantim Apnodi. Shantim Apnodi means that this Shantanu's nature was such, if he touches a sick person, he will immediately get cured from the disease. If he touches a fruit which is already rotten, if he touches that, it will immediately turn into first-class fruit, ready and ripe to eat. If you had a king like this, will anybody won't like to have him as the king? This is what is interesting about Shantanu. The Shantanu had this capacity in him, that he could turn everything into its proper way, into its proper situation. As I mentioned, many people who are sick, they'll go to Shantanu, and Shantanu will just touch them. As soon as he touches them, their sickness was gone. And similarly, seeing all these qualities of Shantanu, people started liking Shantanu very much. And they wanted to make Shantanu as the king. But according to the regulations of that particular time, it was not appropriate for Shantanu to take over the kingdom. That was not correct. And therefore, Shantanu was also not very enthusiastic about it. But what happened was, this Devabhi, who is Shantanu's elder brother, who should have become the king, there was a discussion among the ministers in the palace. The ministers discussed each other, and they decided that Shantanu should become the king, not Devabhi. And Devabhi wasn't aware of any of these things. What they did was, they started performing certain special sacrifices to make Devabhi to expel him from the Vedic tradition. Now, Devabhi was going to be thrown, but all these ministers together went up to Devabhi and told him, Devabhi, you can't become the king. And they talked to him in such a way and made him to say that he has no faith in the Vedic authority. Just see how things happen. That Devabhi was forced to say that he has no faith in the Vedic authority. And that was enough for these ministers. They wanted this one word to come out from his mouth. And they went back and made this announcement that Devabhi has no faith in the Vedic authority, and they expelled Devabhi from there. Now, when you hear this story, what does come to your mind? I don't know what it comes to your mind. What comes to my mind is that this kind of things is going on in this world. You may be thinking that it is only in Kali Yuga. No. This kind of politicking and doing things in this way has always been there. If you like somebody, you can put upon him all the good qualities what he doesn't have and make him as a wonderful personality. And if you don't like somebody, you can, even if he has good qualities, you overlook them and put all the bad qualities upon him and make him also not qualified for anything. This is all the ways of this world. This goes on from time immemorial. It hasn't changed till now. It has been happening all through the history in all material and spiritual organizations. It hasn't changed. And this will continue to happen also. It's not going to change. It's bound to happen. This is the interesting part of this story. This Devabhi hasn't done anything wrong. They have manipulated the situation in such a way that they wanted to bring Shantanu as the king and change the whole the authority of Devabhi. So they decided that this is the way they are going to do it. And this happens all the time, all over the world. If you observe this, one thing is continuously happening. That if you don't like somebody and you don't want him there, you just make a propaganda about it, about him, and tell that the person is so bad that he is not qualified. There is nothing in this world you can't achieve by propaganda. Propaganda is such a powerful thing if you know how to use it. And there are some masters at it who has used this throughout history to get the way, their way, to get their way through. So this is exactly what happened. So this is not a new thing in this world. Even at the time of Devabhi and Shantanu, this has happened. The same thing has happened. So, although this has all happened, Krishna did not reject Devabhi. This is the interesting thing. The Shantanu and the ministers, and they all rejected Devabhi. But Krishna didn't reject Devabhi. Krishna said to Devabhi, go to Badrinath, stay there, and perform austerities and penances. When this Kridayugam is over, this current Kaliyugam is over, when Kridayugam will come back again, and when the Kridayugam comes back, we will need you back to start this Somavamsham or Lunar Dynasty again. To restart the Lunar Dynasty, we will need you back. Because, you know, sometimes when you grow certain vegetables, sometimes till the season arrives, you keep that seed in a fridge or something, in a cold place, so that it doesn't lose its strength. And when the right season comes, you take out the seed and plant it, and the tree comes out, or the plant comes out from that. So Krishna decided that Badrinath is that fridge. Put Devabhi there and let him stay there in the fridge till the time is ready. This is Krishna's decision. You can't change it. That is how Krishna's rules work in this world. Krishna decided, let him stay in the fridge in Badrinath. And when he is ready, we'll take him out and he will start the race again. So all these things in this material world, this is one of the interesting things in this story in this chapter. That how they send Devabhi, and Devabhi is still performing penances there. That's one. Now, Krishna did not only do for the Lunar Dynasty. For Solar Dynasty also, he has found a king by the same, another person by name Maru or something like that. And he has put him also there. So these two seeds, so the Solar and the Lunar Dynasty, for the next Kriyugam, they are already there. and they are performing their penances. That is how the reign of Shantanu has gone on. And this Shantanu carried on, and from Shantanu starts, as I mentioned, the whole Mahabharatam story from there. Shantanu married Ganga Nadi, Ganga River, Mother Ganga. He married her, and from there this powerful personality Bhishma Pitamaha was born. Bhishma was born from that. And Shantanu also married Satyavati, a fisherwoman, woman from the fisherman's caste. And this Satyavati, and she, Shantanu had two sons, Vijitravirya and Chitrangada. Two sons were born from that relationship, Vijitravirya and Chitrangada. Bhishma Pitamaha, who was there, who was born from Ganga, he agreed with Shantanu that he will not take up the because Shantanu wanted to marry Satyavati, and the only objection was, Satyavati's objection was, that if you marry me, the children born from me should have the authority for rights for the kingdom. So knowing well what Shantanu's desire was, at that point in time, that our Bhishma Pitamaha agreed that Bhishma will not put any claim on the throne, and at that point Satyavati said, okay, Bhishma may not claim anything from the throne. What will happen if Bhishma has children? They can claim on the throne. Bhishma said, if that's the case, I will not get married. That was the kind of brahmachari Bhishma was. It is because of all this kind of stern decisions what he took in his life, he got this name as Bhishma. So Bhishma is a son of Ganga, son of Shantanu, born from Ganga Devi. On the other side, we have from Satyavati, according later on, married Shantanu, and from that Vijitravirya and Chitrangada were born. Now to continue the dynasty, they had not married, so therefore in due course Bhishma Pitamaha went to Kashi and brought Amba Ambiga and Ambalika forcefully. He brought them from there and asked Vijitravirya to marry them. Chitrangada was killed in a fight with a Gandharva by another name Chitrangada, and he got killed, so Vijitravirya was left behind. Vijitravirya married them, but before children were born, Vijitravirya died of a disease called Rajayashma. Rajayashma means something similar to TB. And due to excessive sense gratification, a man loses his strength, and this is the disease that he gets. Rajayashma, it's a famous disease in the Ayurveda also. So Bhishma lost his, Vijitravirya lost his strength and eventually got sick and he died before any children were born. So now there was a crisis again in the dynasty. Amba Ambiga and Ambalika. Amba went after Salva, and then there was a fight with Bhishma that we heard before, Parashuram and Bhishma fighting. But Ambiga and Ambalika were left behind, and Vedavyasa Maharshi was invited by Satyavati to have children from them. So from Vedavyasa Maharshi, Dhritarashtra was born from Ambiga, and Pandu was born from Ambalika. And from another Shudra woman, Vidura was also born. So three children were born from that relationship. So that from now on, it is the story of the Pandavas that is going to begin. Both the Kauravas and the Pandavas, they were born from the same family. But from Pandu's side, Pandu married Kundi and Madri, which you know Mahabharata, most of the people are familiar with. From Kundi and Madri, they had children. And Pandu died because of a mistake he committed while hunting, and therefore Kunti Devi invoked the five demigods, and from them the five Pandavas were born. And you also notice there that the Kauravas were born, Duryodhana and others, for Dhritarashtra from Gandhari. So all these things are mentioned there, and then after this incident, then they are very quickly Sukadeva Goswami is moving on to finish the 11th canto. And in that process, he talks about one more story, and then it is after that Krishna. So before we move into Krishna, I'll read that one chapter and talk about that also. And then we have to talk about the last chapter of the 9th canto, 24. Shri Shuka Uvajam. Ano Shri Shuka Uvajam, chapter 23. അനുസഭാനരശ്ചു പരോക്ഷശ്ചത്രയസ്തുതാഃ സഭാനരാൽ കാലനരസഞ്ജയ തത്സുതസ്തതാം ജനമേജയസ്തസ്യ പുത്രോ മഹാശീലോ മഹാമനാഃ ഉശീനരസ്തേഷുശ്ച മഹാമനസമാത്മജവും ശിബിർവനക്ഷമേദക്ഷശ്ചത്വാരോ ശീനരാത്മജാഃ വിഷാദർഭസുവീരശ്ച മന്ത്രകൈകേയമാത്മജാഃ ശിബേശ്ചത്വാരമേവാം സംസ്ഥിരിക്ഷോശ്ച ദൃഷദ്രഥ തതോ ഹേമോദ സുതപാത്മലി സുതപസോഭവൽ അംഗമംഗകലിംഗാദ്യാം സുഗ്മപുണ്ഡ്രാന്ധ്രസംഹിതാഃ യജ്ഞിരേ ദീർഘനമസോ ബലെ ക്ഷേത്രേ മഹീക്ഷിതാം ചക്രസ്വനാംനാ വിഷയാൻ ഷടിമാൻ പ്രാപ്യകാംശ്ചതേ ഘനപാനോംഗദോ യജ്ഞേ തസ്മാൽ ദിവ്യതസ്തഥാ സുതോ ധർമ്മരഥോ യസ്യ യജ്ഞേ ചിത്രരഥോ പ്രജാ രോമപാദമിതി ഖ്യാതസ്തസ്മൈ ദശരഥ സഖാ ശാന്താം സ്വകന്യാം പ്രായച്ച ദൃശ്യശൃംഗേ മുവാഹതാം ദേവേ വഷതീം യം രാമ അനിന്യോ ഹരിണീ സുതം നാട്യസംഗീതവാദിത്ര വിഭ്രമാലിംഗനാർഹണൈ സദുരാജ്ഞോനവത്യ നിരൂപ്യേഷ്ടിം മരുത്വതാം തജാമദാൽ ദശരഥോ യേന ലേഭേ പ്രജാ പ്രജാ ചതുരംഗോ രോമപാദാൽ പൃഥുലാക്ഷസ്തു തത്സുതാം ബൃഹദ്രഥോ ബൃഹൽ കർമ്മ ബൃഹൽഭാനുശ്ച തത്സുത ആദ്യാർ ബൃഹൽമനസ്തസ്മാ ജയദ്രഥമുദാഹൃതാം വിജയസ്തസ്യ സംബോധ്യാം തദോ ധൃതിരജായത തദോ ധൃതവതസ്തസ്യ സൽക്കർമാധിരതസ്തതാം യോസോ ഗംഗാധനേ ക്രീഡൻ മഞ്ജുഷാ അന്തർഗതം ശിശും കുന്ദ്യാപവിദ്ധം കാനീനം അരമത്യോ കരോത്സുതം വൃഷസേനസുതസ്തസ്യ കർണസ്യ ജഗദീപദേ ദ്രുഹ്യോശ്ചനയോ ബഭ്രോ സേതുസ്തസ്യ ആത്മജസ്തതാം ആരബ്ധസ്തസ്യ ഗാന്ധാരസ്തസ്യ ധർമ്മസ്തതോ ധൃത ധൃതസ്യ ദുർമനസ്തസ്മാൽ പ്രജയിതാ പ്രാചദ പ്രാചേത സംശതം മ്ലേച്ഛാധിപതയോ ഭുവന്നു ദീജ്യം ദിശമാശ്രിതാഃ തുർവസോശ്ച സുതോ വന്യർ ഭാർഗോദഭാനുമാൻ ത്രിഭാനുസ്തത്സുതോസ്യാവി കരന്ധമമുധാരതി മരുത്തത്സുതസ്തുതോ പുത്ര പുത്രം പൗരോ മന്യുഭൂൽ ദുഷ്യന്ത സമുനർഭേജേ സ്വംവംശം രാജ്യകാമുക യയാദേ ജ്യേഷ്ഠപുത്രസ്യ യദോർവംശം നരർഷഭാം വർണയാമി മഹാപുണ്യം സർവപാപഹരം നൃണാം യദോർവംശം നരശ്രുത്വാ സർവപാപൈ പ്രമുച്യതേ യത്രാവതീർണോ ഭഗവാൻ പരമാത്മാ നരാകൃതി യദോ സഹസ്രജിൽ ക്രോഷ്ട നളോ ഇരുബിരുതി കശുതാഹ ചത്വാരസൂതവസ്തത്ര ശതജിൽ പ്രതമാത്മജ മഹാഹയോ വേണുഹയോ ഹൈഹയശ്ചേതിതൽ സുതാ ധർമ്മസ്തു ഹയസുതോ നേത്ര കുന്ദേപി നേത്രകുന്ദേപി ദാതദാ സോഹഞ്ചരവിൽ കുന്ദർ മഹിഷ്മാൻ ഭദ്രസേനകാം ദുർമദോ ഭദ്രസേനസ്യ ധനകൃതവീര്യസു കൃതാഗ്നി കൃതവർമാജ കൃതൗജ ധനകാത്മജാം അർജുനകൃതവീര്യസ്യ സപ്തദ്വീപേശ്വരോ ഭവൽ ദത്താത്രയോദ്ധരേ രംശാൽ പ്രാപ്തയോഗമഹാഗുണാം നൂനം കാർത്തവീര്യസ്യ ഗതിം യസ്യന്തി പാർത്ഥിവ യജ്ഞദാനതപോ യോഗം ശുതവീര്യം ജയാദിവി പഞ്ചാശീതി സഹസ്രാണി അവ്യാഹതബലസമ അനഷ്ടവിത്ത സ്മരണോ ബുഭുജേ ക്ഷയ ഷഡ്സൂം തസ്യപുത്രസഹസ്രേഷു പഞ്ചേർവോർവരിതോ അമൃതേ ജയധ്വജശൂരസേനോ വൃഷഭോ മധുരോർജിത ജയധ്വജാൽ താലജംഗസ്തസ്യ പുത്രശതം ത്വഭുവിൽ ക്ഷത്രം യൽ താലജംഗാഖ്യം ഔർവതേജോപസംഹൃതം തേഷാം ജ്യേഷ്ഠോ വീതിഹോത്രോ വൃഷ്ണിപുത്രോ മധോ സ്മൃത തസ്യ പുത്രശതം തഥാ തസ്യ പുത്രശതം ത്വാസിൽ വൃഷ്ണിജ്യേഷ്ഠയതക്കുലം മാധവാ വൃഷ്ണയോ രാജൻ യാദവാശ്ചേതി സംഹിത യതുപുത്രസ്യ ച ക്രോഷ്ടോ മുത്രോ വൃജിനവാംസ്തഥാ ശ്വാഹിസ്തോ ഋഷകർച്ചൈ തസ്യ ചിത്രരഥസ്തഥാ ശശബിന്ദുർമഹായോഗി മഹാഭോജോ മഹാനുഭൂൽ ചതുർദശ മഹാരത്നശ്ചക്രവർത്തിപരാജിത തസ്യ പത്നി സഹസ്രാണാം ദശാനാം സുമഹായശ ദശലക്ഷസഹസ്രാണി പുത്രാണാം ദാസ്വജീജനൽ തേഷാം ദുഷൽ പ്രധാനാനാം ഭൃതുശ്രവസമാത്മജ ധർമ്മോ നാമോശന തസ്യ ഹയമേന ശതസ്യയാൾ തത്സുദോരുജഗസ്തസ്യ പഞ്ചാസന്നാത്മജാശൃണു പുരുജിൽ ദൃക്മരുക്മേഷു പൃഥുജ്യാമകസം ഇതാ യാമകസ്തു പ്രജോപ്യന്യാം ഭാര്യാം ശൈവ്യാപതിർഭയാൽ നാവിന്ദചത്രുഭവനാൽ ഭോജ്യാം കന്യാമഹാരഷീൽ രഥസ്താം താം നിരീക്ഷ്യഹ ശൈവ്യാപതിമർഷിതാം കേയം കുഹകമൽസ്ഥാനം രഥമാരോപിരേതി വൈ സ്നുഷാതാവേത്യഭിഹിതേ സ്മയന്തീ പതിമബ്രവീൽ അഹം വന്ധ്യാസപത്നീയ സ്നുഷാമേ യുജ്യതേ കഥം ജനയിഷ്യസിയം രാജ്ഞി തസ്യേമുപയുജ്യതേ അന്യമോദന്ത തദ്വിശ്വേ ദേവാം പിതരേവ ച ശൈഭ്യ ഗർഭമധാൽ കാലേ കുമാരം സുഷുവേ ശുഭം സവിദർഭമിതി പ്രോക്ത ഉപയേമേ സ്നുഷാം സതീം ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ പാരമഹംസ്യാം സംഹിതായാം നാമ സ്കന്ദേ വംശാനുവർണേ യദ്വംശാനുവർണേ ത്രയോവംശോധ്യായ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. సో ఇన్ దిస్ చాప్టర్ అగైన్ ది కంటిన్యూషన్ ఆఫ్ ది డైనాస్టీ ఇస్ మెన్షన్ అండ్ the different names, that there is so many names mentioned there and it is so difficult to remember all those names as well. So strictly speaking, that the one or two important incidents mentioned there, but rest of the things, if you just read through Prabhupada's purports, you can find everything explained in detail there. But briefly, one of these incident mentioned there is about Shaivya. This is a very important point in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Shaivya comes later on also. You will see among Krishna's major wives, eight important wives, Lakshmani, Rukmini, Jambavati, Satyabhama, Kalindi, like that, there's eight wives mentioned. At some places in the Bhagavatam, you will find the name Shaivya also mentioned, one of the eight wives. So sometimes, when you read Bhagavatam, you will find a little differences in from the of the names of these eight different wives, the major queens of Dwaraka. Of course, Krishna later on married 16,000. Some people say it is 16,100. Some Puranas you may find an information like that, 16,100. But in other Puranas you also find 16,000. But they were not the main wives of Krishna. The main wives were these first eight wives, starting with Rukmini. So among them, these eight names also, you will find a little difference. Name of Shaivya mentioned in many, many places. So for a long time, many Bhagavata commentators have discussed this topic. Who is this Shaivya? How this name Shaivya came into it? Because if we look in the, I think it is in the 65th chapter or something, in the 10th canto, all the wives of Krishna, they met up with Panjali and they all discussed together. Panjali asked, Draupadi asked certain questions to them about how they became Krishna's wives and all these questions. And there, Shaivya's name comes in. And therefore, we have to know who Shaivya is and the Shaivya story also. How did Shaivya become Krishna's one of the important wives? So the situation was this, that there was one, this king, I think his name is Jamaka or something mentioned there in that chapter. This king was very powerful. He was a very, very capable person. Very powerful at the same time, used to go out fighting wars and invading places and subduing other Kshatriya kings under his control. He was a very powerful king. But this Jamaka had one problem. He was always frightened of his wife. He could not stand up to her and talk to her properly, always fearful of her. Somehow or the other, she managed to control him so well that this Jamaka got into one difficult situation with her. So once what happened was, Jamaka went on a invasion to some kingdom. And after the invasion, when they realized that the royal family of that particular kingdom realized that they have lost the war to Jamaka, they decided to give up their life. That was very common among the Kshatriyas, that if they win the war, they will stay, they will and rule the kingdom. But there was no question of being subdued by another Kshatriya. They will give up their life one way or the other. They'll fight the war. If they can't, they won't like to be captured in the fight. Rather, they'll jump into the fire and kill themselves. So this was the system. That was such a strength in their mind. In these things, they were very clear in their head what the war was all about. And the war never lasted very, very long time. Like sometimes these world wars goes on for 8-10 years and all that. It was very unusual, because there was no enmity between the people. It is only the kings, they fought each other. There was no, nowadays when you have a war, the whole nation becomes excited and thinks that the other whole nation in the other side is our enemies. And this is how the modern warfare is fought. It is between nation to nation. In other words, the whole people become inimical to another group of people who are thousands of, they don't even know each other, but they are their enemies. They consider that they are my enemies, so I have to kill them. So this kind of foolishness comes from this modern system, sometimes which is not very appropriate, because to develop enmity towards other people without any purpose is not a very reasonable thing, and unpleasant also. To think that a whole race of people are bad because we are their enemies and they are our enemies, in this conception, absorbing one's own mind, it all starts with the mind, that already they don't even know each other, who these people are whom they are hating and enemy kill about. But they become enemies each other. And then this war can go on, drag on for years and years. And that's what the recent history shows. But in the time when these kings ruled the planet, they did not allow this to happen. That was not the standard. The standard was that they fought the war, the war's army and the king, they went and fought the war. Whoever won the war, they took over their control, and people had to pay the taxes or duties to them. That's it. There was nothing more than that, more identification with one's own kingdom and place of birth to such an extent. That is probably why Vedavyasa Maharshi knew that it is all going to be like this later on. So he put this verse in the Bhagavatam. Yasyalpa buddhi kuna vedri dhaduge sodhi kalatradi shubhauma ijyadi yatirtha buddhi salile nakarhijil janeshu abhityeshu sa eva ghokaram. If you read Shrimad Bhagavatam, at one point, Vedavya says like this. What does he say? Yes, alpa buddhi kuna petri dhaduke. That one who considers, identifies oneself with this bag of, what is this bag? This body is considered to be like a bag. And what does this bag carry? Bag carries urine, stool, flesh, mucus, blood, and bones. This is this body. And if one starts identifying with this body, he, according to Vedavyas, yes, Alma Buddhi, if he considers Alma Buddhi, if he considers the self to be this body, Tridhaduke, Tridhadu means Vadam, air, bile, and mucus, Vadam, Pitam, and Kapam. According to Ayurvedam, these are the three that is constitutes this body. Yes, Alma Buddhi, Kunape, Tridhaduke, Sodhi, Kalatra, Adishu, Bhauma, Ijyadim. That if you consider the land of birth where you are born as worshipable. If you start thinking, I am born here, so I must be loyal to this land. Is there anything to say more than that? That to think oneself, to identify with the land of birth, and thinking that I am a product of this land, I am a product of material nature, this is coming from the lack of Krishna consciousness and lack of understanding of one's own identity. When one understands that he is not a product of the material nature, he is not a product of the place of birth. It so happened due to various reasons behind his own karma, he had to accept a body in a particular place. He does not have to take it more than that, to think that I belong to this, so I should identify with this, and this is everything for me in my life. This is coming from what is known as ignorance. And that is why Vedavyas mentions like this. Yasyalpa buddhi kunape tridhaduke sodhi kalatra adishu bhauma ijyadim. That me and mine, all my wife and children, they belong to me, because on a bodily level you identify with them. And this way, this bodily identification causes so much problems that then it, when it extends further, it ends up into all these kind of complicated relationships. Yatirtha buddhi salilena karhijil. Similarly, holy places, tirthas. People go to this tirtham with the understanding that if I go to tirtham, my duty is to bathe few times in the river and then come back from there and I am purified myself. No, you don't get purified like that. The purpose of going to tirtham is, in the holy places, the great devotees and great sages, they normally live there. To go to such places to hear from them about the glories of Krishna consciousness. That is why the purpose of going to tirtham. Not simply to bathe in the river and come back saying that I have purified myself. So I was saying this before, that so many false understandings comes in our own way of life, and we start thinking, oh, this is everything that I have done. Sometimes people say, I go on parikrama, I did 10 miles, I did 20 miles. They feel satisfied, they have done that. But if the consciousness is the same when you went there and when you came back, what has changed actually, except that you had walked 10 miles and had a good exercise from that. That's all. That's what you have gained. But that is not spiritual life. Spiritual life is that in association with this activities which are relationship with Krishna, one should advance on the Krishna consciousness side. If Krishna consciousness is not advancing, then all the other austerities and penances is also waste of time. That is why it's mentioned. Yathirtha buddhi salilena karhichil. Then if you go to salilam or the water to bathe, just to bathe and come back, janeshu abhijneshu sa eva ghogaram. He says, Vedavyas is a little bit harsh on us, because sometimes he's talking about us, all these things. He says, you're just like cows and you are like asses, he says. So you should not get upset with Vedavyas for saying this, because he has used the appropriate word. That's all I can say. Because when people act like that, what else can you say? When they forget their spiritual identity and absorb themselves in the body to such an extent that they can ignore the spirit soul, they can ignore their spiritual identity to that point and identify with the body and act in such a mad manner in this world. Janeshu abhijneshu sa eva ghogaram. They are no better than goats and karas, he says. Cows and the asses. In other words, he is talking about us all very nicely. He has mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, you can see from here that these Kshatriya kings, they fought the war, and the result of that was they often ended up in either fighting the war and dying. If they lost it and they knew that there's something going to happen, then they will jump in the fire along with the family and give up the whole lifetime, whole life they used to give up. So Jamaka invaded a kingdom, and when he invaded this king, he won the war. And before he could get them, they all jumped into the fire and killed themselves. They didn't want to die at the hands of the enemy, and they killed themselves. But when he went into the palace after that, after this whole war was over, he went into the palace to see what's in the palace left. When he went there, he saw a young girl sitting there. She was about 18 or 19 years old. She was sitting there. As soon as she saw that the new king has arrived, she got up from the seat and stood there in a fearful mood. And Jamaka asked her, "Who are you?" She said, "I am the daughter of the king." Somehow or the other, she did not get the courage to jump into the fire and kill herself. Everybody else did that. But she got frightened. She wanted to, but she couldn't do it. She didn't get the courage to jump into the fire and kill herself. So what she did, she said to the king that, "Please kill me." This is what she told him. "You can just kill me, because I couldn't do that. But I don't want to be under your control." She was very open about it. That Kshatriya nature in her. She said to him that, "I don't want to be under your control, but you can kill me straight away if you like." But somehow the other, Jamaka was a very compassionate person also. Although king, he also was compassionate. He said to her, after it was more or less his daughter's age, he said to her that, "What's your name?" She said, "My name is Snusha." Snusha. He told Snusha, "Don't worry about anything. You are like a daughter to me. Come back with me to the palace and you can stay with me there. I will look after you as your father and your relative, everything. You have neither father nor mother. I have no children anyway." He didn't have any children. So he accepted her as his daughter, took her, put her in the chariot, and drove back to the palace. So when he got back to the palace, his wife Shaibya, who had a total control on Jamaka, was not aware that this girl was coming with her, Jamaka back to the palace. For some days she was wandering around. It so happened, Jamaka had no other plan. He thought that he'll come to the palace and let her out from the chariot, and she will stay in the palace and be maintained by the king. That was his plan. But in the chariot, there were only two seats because they had no children. It was normally the king and Shaibya, the queen. They traveled together. Unfortunately, when the chariot arrived at the palace, Shaibya arrived on the spot and saw the king Jamaka and this young girl, Snusha, in the chariot together. So when the chariot door opened, this is what Shaibya saw straight away. And you should see in the Bhagavatam how Shaibya addressed Jamaka. At that time, The word she used was verse 37 in the 24th chapter. Kayam kuhagam alstanam ratham arobi dedi vai. He says, a kuhaga, a rascal, in other words, a husband, she is calling her husband. Nowadays it's not so bad because it's acceptable. In those days, if you have called such a thing, that is it. Then there is no question of such. Nowadays, I don't know, you can call anything you like. We are all equal and we can do what we want. So that's fine. But those days, for Sri Shugan to say this in the Bhagavadam, it has to be really strong to use that word. Kayam kuhagamalstanam rathamarobite divai. Who is this sitting on my place in the chariot? She says to him. This Jamaka got frightened. Did he know what to say? Feeling a bit guilty about it. And she said to him, Snusho, Snushatavi Tyabhide Smayandi Padimabravil. He said, her name is Snusha. Snusha, he said. What does Snusha mean? Snusha means, normally if you, for somebody has his son's wife, she is called Snusha. A man's son's wife, she is normally called as Snusha. So the king was so frightened, he couldn't answer it properly. He just Snusha, he said. So Shaibya, the wife, misunderstood the whole thing. Shaibya thought that maybe the king has a son somewhere, has got a daughter-in-law like this. Whole thing, the woman's mind, how it goes. It goes in the wrong direction. It went like that. And started, Shaibya gave out to him at that time. And Jamaka did not know what to say, one word. Couldn't answer anything. Shaibya is asking, you can see the next line if you read, you'll see there. Aham vandhya sabatnija snushame yujyade katham. I don't have children, I am a vandhya. And tell me how this snusha has come to me. Where can you have a snusha from me? Janayishasiyam rajni tasayam ubayujyade. The king should have said to Shaibya that there is nothing to be alarmed about it. This girl is the daughter of the king and I brought her here because she was living, there was nobody else to look after. I just brought her here. But instead of saying all that, he kept quiet. Because Shaibya was actually, how do you call it? Shaibya was so much in such an angry mood that she was ready to burn the whole place up. In such a way she started speaking. So when Shaibya spoke like this, the king was not knowing what to say about them. Luckily, our Jamaka had some mercy from the demigods. The demigods knew what was going on. And they wanted that this kingdom should survive. So what they immediately spoke from the sky. The demigods spoke. What did the demigods say? Demigod said that keep her with you. Soon you will have a son. And as soon as the demigod said that, Shaibya was happy. Everything extremely pleasant to her. And when the child is born, marry this girl Snusha to Shaibya. And so the whole problem will be resolved. And then Shaibya accepted Snusha. And then Snusha in due course got married to the son who was born from Shantanu. Now what is interesting here is, why I was saying all this story was, there was a reason behind it. That I mentioned to you, Shaibya, the name Shaibya. So this Shaibya had this ability to control Jamaka very nicely. In other words, Shaibya was a very powerful personality. So because Shaibya did this to Jamaka like this, all the princesses who were born in that kingdom, which is Vidarbha, all the princesses who were born in that kingdom also got the name as, especially the eldest one, will get the name as Shaibya. They followed that system from then on. You can see sometimes in this world, you do like that, isn't it? Sometimes some titles are continued in the family. So this Shaibya was the title because this particular queen succeeded in controlling the king so nicely that they decided, the Vidarbha, Vaidarbhi's family decided that he will use the name Shaibya in their family tradition for the princesses. And that is how when Krishna married Rukmini, Rukmini came back with the name Shaibya. You see, so that is why in some places, instead of Rukmini, the name Shaibya is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So how Rukmini got the name Shaibya? One Bhagavatam commentator has brought this story out and explained it. This is how this happened, that all the members, all the princesses who were born in that particular family have received this name Shaibya. So therefore, some places you will see the name Rukmini mentioned, and some places you will see the name Shaibya mentioned, but it is the one and the same person. So that is that important story in that chapter. Now we are going to the 24th chapter. So you will notice so many things mentioned in the ninth canto. Why all these things are mentioned? That is the question, isn't it? So if you need the next chapter, you will understand why all these things were spoken. So I'll just read that chapter and then I will discuss after that. So Shri Shuka Uvacha. तस्यां विदर्भो अजनयल् पुत्रौ नाम्ना कुशक्रथौ तृतीयं रोमपादं च विदर्भकुलनन्दनं रोमपादसुतो बभ्रो बभ्रो कृतिरजायत कुशिकस्थलसुदत्तस्मात् निश्चैत्यादयो नृपां चेतिश्चैत्यादयो नृपां क्रथस्य कुन्दी पुत्रो भूदृष्टिस्तस्याधनुवृति ततो दाशार्हो नाम्ना भूल तस्य व्योमसुदस्तदा जीमूदो विकृतिस्तस्य यस्य भीमरथ सुदा ततो नवरथ पुत्रो जातो दशरथस्तदा करं भीषगुणे पुत्रो देवराधस्तदात्मज देववक्षत्रस्तदस्तस्य मधुगुरुवशादनु पुरुहोत्रस्त्वनो पुत्रस्तस्यायु सात्वदस्तदा भजमानो भजिर्दिव्यो विष्णुर्देवावृतोऽन्धकाम् सात्वदस्य सुधा सप्त महाभोजश्च मारिष भजमानस्य निम्लोजि किङ्गिणो दृष्टिरेव च एकस्यात्मा एकस्यामात्मजा पत्न्यामन्यस्यां च त्रयः सुधाः शताजिच्च सहस्राजिर्ऐदाजिदिति ऐदाजिदिति प्रभो बभ्रुर्देवावृतसुधस्तदैव श्लोकौ पठन्ध्यमु एथैव शृणुमो दूयाल् सम्पश्यामस्तथान्दिगाल् बभ्रुश्रेष्ठो मनुष्याणां देवैर्देवावृतसम पुरुषा पञ्चषष्टिश्च षट्सहस्राणि चाष्टज ये मृदत्वनुमनुप्राप्ता बभ्रोर्देवावृधातवि महाभोजोऽपि धर्मात्मा भोजो आसंस्तदन्वये वृष्णे सुमित्रपुत्रो भूद्यजाजिच्च वरं तव शिनिस्तस्यानमित्रश्च निम्नो भूदनमित्रदां सत्रायुध प्रसेनश्च निम्नस्याभ्यासदुःसुतौ अनमित्रसुतो योऽन्य शिनिस्तस्यागसत्यगाम् युयुधानसातैर्वैजयस्तस्य गणिस्तदा युगन्धर्वनमित्रस्य वृष्णिपुत्रो परस्तदा श्वभल्कश्चित्रश्च गान्धिन्यां यशुभल्कदा अक्रूरप्रमुखामासन् पुत्रा द्वादशविश्रुताः आसङ्गसारमेयश्च मृदुरो मृदुविल्गिरि धर्मवृद्धसुकर्मा च क्षेत्रोपेक्षोरिवर्धना शत्रुघ्नो गन्धमानश्च प्रतिबाहुश्च द्वादश तेषां सुसासुचीराख्य द्वावक्रूरसुदामपि देववानुभदेवश्च तथा चित्ररथात्मजा पृथुर्मिथुरदाध्याश्च बहवो वृष्णिनन्दन कुकुरो भजमानश्च शुचि कम्बलवर्हिषा कुकुरस्य सुधो मन्युर्विलोमातनयस्तदां कपोदरोमोदस्यानुसखा यस्य जतुम्बुरु अन्धगो दुन्दुभिस्तस्मा अरिद्योदपुनर्वसु तस्याहुश्चाहुगी चरण्या जैवाहुगाल्मजो देवगश्चुग्रसेनश्च चत्वारो देवगाल्मजाम् देववानुपदेवश्च सुदेवो देववर्धन तेषां स्वसारसुप्ता सन् हृदा देवादयो नृपा शान्तिदेवोपदेवो च श्रीदेवा देवरक्षिता सह देवो देवगी च वसुदेवमुवाहदा कंसस्व नामानिग्रोध कङ्कशङ्गसुहस्तदा राष्ट्रपालोदसृष्टिश्च तुष्टिमान उग्रसेनया कंसा कंसवती कङ्गा शूरभूराष्ट्रपालिका उग्रसेन दुहितरो वसुदेवानुजस्त्रिया शूरो विधुरदादासील् भजमानसुदस्तदा शिनिसत्तस्माल् स्वयं भोजो हृदिगस्तल्सुदो मदा देवबाहू शतनी कृतवर्मेति तल्सुदा देवमीढस्य शूरस्य मारिषा नाम पत्न्यभूल् तस्यां स जनयामासादशपुत्रान् कल्मषान् వసుదేవం దేవభాగం దేవశ్రవసమానగం సృంజయం శ్యామకం కంగం శమీకం వల్సగం మృగం దేవదుందుభయో నేదు అనగా యస్య జన్మని వాసుదేవం హరే స్థానం వదంద్యానగదుందుభిం ప్రదాజ శుదేవాజ శుదగర్తి శుదశ్రవ రాజాదిదేవి చైదేషా భగిన్యా పంచగన్యగా కుందే సఖ్యుపిదా శూరో అపుత్రస్య ప్రదావధాల్ సాబాదృవాససో విద్యాం దేవహూదిం ప్రదోషిదాల్ తస్యా వీర్య పరీక్షార్థం ఆజుహావరహిం శుచిం తదైవోపాగతం దేవం వీక్ష్యా విస్మితమానస ప్రత్యయార్థం ప్రయుక్తా మే యాహి దేవక్షమస్వ మే అమోఘం దర్శనం దేవి ఆదిల్స్వే త్వయిజాల్పజం యోనీయథాన దుష్యేదకర్తాహం దేసు మధ్యమే ఇతరస్యాం సమాధాయ గర్భం సూర్యోదివం గద సద్యా కుమారసం యజ్ఞే దిదీయమేవ భాస్కర తం సాత్యజనదీదోయే కృచ్ఛాల్లోకస్య బిభ్యతి ప్రభినామహస్తామువాహ పాండుర్వై సత్యవిక్రమ శ్రుతదేవాదుకారుషో వృద్ధశర్మ సమగ్రహీల్ యస్యామవో దందవక్త్ర కృషశబ్దో దిదే సుదా కైకేయో దృష్టకేతుశ్చ శ్రుతకీర్తిమవింద సందర్దనాదయస్తస్య పంజాసన్ కైకయాసుదా రాజాదిదేవ రాజాదిదేవ్యామావంద్యో జయసేనో జనిష్ఠః దమఘోషశ్చేది రాజా శుతశ్రవసమగ్రహీల్ శిశువాలసుదస్తస్య కలిదస్తస్య సంభవ దేవభాగస్య కంసాయాం చిత్రకేతు బృహద్బలౌ కంసవత్యాం దేవశ్రవస సువీరమిష్టమాం స్థన కంగయామానగా జాన సత్యజిల్ పురిజిల్ తదా సృజయో రాష్ట్రవాల్యాం చ వృషదుర్మర్షణాదిగాన్ హరికేశ హిరణ్యాక్షో శూరభూమ్యాం చ శ్యామగా మిశ్రకేష్యామప్సరసి మృగాదీదాల్సగస్తద తక్షపుష్కరశాలాని దుర్వక్ష్యాం మృగమాధదే సుమిత్ర అర్జున బాధిర్చైరవీగాతు సుదామిని కంగశ్చ కర్ణికాయాం వై కృతధామ జయావతి పౌరవీరోహిణీ భద్రామదిరారోచనామిళ రేవకీ ప్రముఖామాసన్ పత్న్యమానగదున్ముభే బలం గదం సారణం చ దుర్మదం విబలం ధ్రువం వసుదేవస్తురోహిణ్యాం కృదాదీను కృదాని ఉదవాదయల్ సుభద్రోభద్రవాహశ్చ దుర్మదోభద్రమే చ పౌరవ్యాస్తనయో హేదే భూతాద్యా ద్వాదశాభవన్ నందోపనందకతకు శూరాద్యామదిరాత్మయ కౌసల్యా కేశినాం త్వేగమసూద కులనందనం రోజనాయామదో జాదో హస్తహేమాంగదాదయ ఇళయా ఒరువల్కాదిన్ ఇదు ముఖ్యాన జీజనల్ విప్రష్టోదృతదేవాయాం ఏకమానగదుందువే శాంతిదేవాత్మయ రాజన్ శర్మపతి సుదాదయ రాజాన కల్పవర్షాద్యాం ఉపదేవా సుదాదశ వసుహంసువా శాద్యా శ్రీదేవాయాస్తు షల్సుదా దేవరక్షితయాలబ్ధ నవజాతృకదాదయ వసుదేవ సుదానష్టం వాధదే సహదేవయ పురివింశత ముఖ్యాంసు సాక్షాల్ ధర్మో వసూనివ వసుదేవస్తు దేవక్యాం అష్టముత్రాన జీజనల్ కీర్తిమందం సుషేణం చ భద్రసేనం ఉదారది హృజిం సంవర్ధనం భద్రం సంఘర్షణ మహీశ్వరం అష్టమస్తుతయోరాసి స్వయమే హరి కిల సుభద్రాజ మహాభాగ తవ రాజన్ పితామహి యదా దేహధర్మస్ క్షయో వృద్ధిశ్చ వాత్మన తదాదు భగవానీశ ఆత్మానం సృజదే హరి నహ్యసి జన్మనో హేతు కర్మణో వా మహీపాదే ఆత్మహీపదే ఆత్మమాయా వినేశస్య పరస్య ద్రష్టుమాత్మన యన్మాయాచేషితం పుంసాస్తిత్యుల్పత్యపేయాయి అనుగ్రహస్థ నివృత్తే ఆత్మలాభయే లాభాయ చేషదే అక్షౌహీయామది అసురే అమలాంఛనై భువ ఆక్రమ్యమాణాయ అభారాయ కృతోద్యమ కర్మాణ్యపరిమేయాణి మనసా విసురేశ్వరై సహస సంఘర్షణశ్చక్రే భగవాన్ మధుసూదన కలౌ జనిష్యమాణానాం దుఃఖశోకతమోన్నతం అనుగ్రహాయ భక్తానాం సుపుణ్యం మిదనో దిశాం యస్మిన్ సల్కర్ణవీయూషే యశస్తీర్థవరే సకృ శ్రోత్రాంజలినుపస్పృశ్యాం ధునుదే కర్మవాసనం భోజవృష్ట్యంతగ మధు శూరసేన దశార్హగై శ్లాఘనీయేహి నశ్వల్ కురుసదేవాండువి స్నిగ్ధస్మిదేక్షిదోదారే వాక్యర్విక్రమలీలయ నృలోకం రమయామాస మూర్త్యా సర్వాంగరమ్యయ యస్యాననం మగరకుండల చారుకర్ణం రాజల్ కమోల సుభగం సువిలాసహాసం నిత్యోత్సవం నదృషి పిబంద్యో ఆర్యో నరాశ్చ ముదిదా కుపితా నిమేశ్చాం జాదో గదా పితృగృహాన్ వ్రజమేధిదార్తో హత్వారిమున్ సుదశదాని కృదోరుదార ఉల్పాద్యదేషు పురుషు పురుష కృతుభి సమీచే ఆత్మానమాత్మనిఘమం ప్రదయంజనేషు ప్రత్యాస వై గురుభరం క్షమయన్ గురూణం అందసముత్థకలిన యుధి భూపజన్న దృష్ట్యా విధూయ విజయే జయముద్విఘోష్య ప్రవోచోద్యవాయ జమరం సమగాల్ స్వధామా ఇది శ్రీమద్ భాగవతే మహాపురాణి పారమహంస్యాం సంహితాయాం నవమస్కందే శ్రీ సూర్య సమవంశానుకీర్తనే యదువంశానుకీర్తనం నామ చతుర్వింశోధ్యాయ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద సో This is the last chapter of the ninth canto. In this ninth canto, you can see one important thing, that Sukadeva Goswami was preparing us for welcoming Krishna. That you will see here. Why? How do you see that there? Is that mentioned there like that? No, it's not mentioned. But the way it has been spoken is such. You will notice here that all this history of these kings who mentioned in the ninth canto, I mentioned this a few times before, they were all materially very active. At the same time, at some point in their life, they were able to give up these materialistic activities and turn to spiritual life. Why is it mentioned like that? Is that we ordinary human beings have one great problem in our mind, and that problem is that we have no renunciation and we have no knowledge either. This is our problem, and that is the problem, that we don't understand Krishna because of this. Why these two things, jnanam and vairagyam, knowledge and renunciation, are the two qualifications that develop a person, Krishna consciousness. And as long as those two things are missing in one's life, it will go on for a very, very long time. And attachment to material life, material activities, and material happiness will not allow you to understand Krishna. And for this reason only, in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Shukha Brahmarshi or Vasudeva Goswami has been stressing this point to express to us that in the material world, this is what all that is going on. What is going on in this material world is nothing but this kind of activities. And with this background, if one gets absorbed in that, he will not be able to understand the 10th canto. This is Sudeva Goswami's reading on us. And because it is like that, briefly, before bringing Krishna into picture, Sudeva Goswami prepared many things in advance. I mentioned before that marriage of Lord Balaram was spoken many chapters before in the ninth canto. Why? Because Sudeva Goswami knew once Krishna comes on the scene, he might even forget to mention about Balaram's marriage. And not only that, in this last chapter you can also see Sangarshana Maheshwaram, appearance of Lord Balaram is also mentioned. So earlier, Balaram's marriage is mentioned. Now, Balaram's appearance is also mentioned. Why? Because once you begin the 10th canto, the powerful 10th canto will not allow Sudeva Goswami to speak about anything else except Krishna and Krishna's childhood. So because it was influencing or affecting him so strongly, Sudeva Goswami decided one after the other to finish up everything and move on to the 10th canto to speak about Krishna. And also, you will notice something else there, that at the last three verses, a few verses before that also, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned about Krishna's appearance briefly, and also a summary of Krishna's activities in this world and Krishna's return back to the spiritual world. Why did he do that? Because the only reason for doing that is that once the topic of Krishna is discussed, if the people who are listening about Krishna do not understand everything about him, Sukadeva Goswami's attitude is rather you don't listen about it. Because he wanted to know from Parikshit how inquisitive he was to hear about Krishna. For the last 5 days, he had only 7 days time left. And almost 4.5 days out of these 7 days were spent in discussing about Krishna's other appearances in different Malsim, Gomam, Varaham, Narsimham, and so many other different incarnations were discussed up to this point. Now we are going to discuss about Krishna himself. Why Krishna appeared and what was Krishna's activities. And because it is such an important part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Sri Shukha Maharshi decided to mention very briefly to Parikshit and see the response from Parikshit, how Parikshit will react to it. He will say here, Krishna appeared in Gokulam, went to Vrindavan, killed many demons there, later on went to Mathura, killed Kamsa, and after that helped the Yadavas to establish their kingdom, went to Dwaraka, and in Dwaraka he established his kingdom where he married Rukmini Devi and so many others, and had such a wonderful householder life there that he had so many 16,000 wives apart from the 8 major wives, and then from every wife he had 10 children. You can imagine what a powerful personality Krishna was. 10 children. So can you imagine, if you want to take a group photo of Krishna's family, there will be no camera in this world which can accommodate. It will be a satellite or something has to take. It was such a big family of Krishna. So even after all that, that Krishna's position was such that he engineered this Mahabharata war. And behind the scene, he operated and destroyed all the demons. And in the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna instructed Arjuna the cream of spiritual knowledge known as Bhagavad Gita. And after instructing Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Krishna decided to come back to Dwaraka. And later on, after executing his householder life properly, Krishna decided to leave the planet and disappear. You cannot say that Krishna gave up his body, because in the 10th canto you will notice Sri Shukan mentioned this very clearly. Krishna never take birth. Krishna never leave his body. These things doesn't appear to Krishna. He appears and he disappears. He covers his form from us. That's what he does. He covers himself from us and then we can't see him anymore. Similarly, he appeared also in the same way. So when Krishna appeared like that, before he disappeared from this world, Krishna thought himself, is there any more instructions I want to offer to this world? It is then that Krishna selected his topmost devotee, most confidential devotee, Uddhava, and he told Uddhava, Prochodhavaya cha param samagal swadhama. Before returning back to Swadhamam, to his own abode, he spoke the highest knowledge to Uddhava. Highest knowledge he handed over to Uddhava. And that is what we will discuss and study in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam. So this Ekadasha Skandam in the Srimad Bhagavatam has been mentioned here as Prochodhavaya cha param samagal swadhama. Before returning to the spiritual world, Krishna thought himself, is there any more knowledge this world require? That is how Krishna assessed the situation. I have already spoken about spiritual life to Arjuna. But is there anything afterwards, after speaking to Arjuna, is there anything left in this world to be spoken that others should know? So if they want to follow me back to the spiritual world, let them get an opportunity. This was in Krishna's mind. So keeping Uddhava in the forefront, Krishna spoke the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this latest BTG, you can see an article about it, in this latest one, where Krishna Prabhupada mentions about these instructions to Uddhava. I'll just read what Prabhupada said about that, because Prabhupada's observation, although Bhagavad Gita was the topmost spiritual knowledge as we consider, and Bhagavad Gita has been taken very seriously by many, many people over the world, all over the world, who study Bhagavad Gita. They find a great, great satisfaction from Bhagavad Gita and satisfy their spiritual desires. But when it comes to the when it comes to the instructions to Uddhava, what did Prabhupada have to say? Prabhupada says here, undoubtedly, Bhagavad Gita was spoken by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra just to encourage Arjuna to fight, and yet to complete the transcendental knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord instructed Uddhava. The Lord wanted Uddhava to fulfill his mission and disseminate knowledge which he had not spoken even in Bhagavad Gita. So now you can understand the position of the instructions to Uddhava. It is not that Srila Prabhupada is here minimizing the importance of the Bhagavad Gita, which elsewhere he praises as the most profound philosophy known to man. But he is saying something about the unique importance of the instructions to Uddhava, to Uddhava Gita. So from here you can see that the knowledge in the Bhagavadam is supplementing the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. And when one understands what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, and one understands what is discussed in the Ekadasha Skandham of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the topmost instruction one can receive from Krishna. And this is precisely the reason that Krishna kept it as the last thing to do. Prochodhavaya japaram samagal swadhama. Before going back to his own abode, Krishna realized that this knowledge should stay in this world. Reference to this is mentioned in the third canto. If you remember, when Vidura and Maitreya discussed each other, the same topic was discussed there. Vidura asked Uddhava when they met with each other in Vrindavanam. If you see, remember in the third canto. Vidura complained to Uddhava that I did not have that good fortune of seeing Krishna before he departed from this world. It was then that Uddhava, who was on his way to Badrinath, with these instructions what he received from Krishna, and also he was carrying Krishna's shoes on his head on his way to Badrinath. So at that time Vidura was very inquisitive, and not only inquisitive, he really wanted to hear the last instructions from Krishna. And he was cursing himself that I was wandering around the whole country in the name of pilgrimage. And what is the use of this pilgrimage? This is what Uddhava said at that time. If I had that golden opportunity of receiving instructions from Krishna direct, what does that mean? It means something, isn't it? Instructions means from Krishna means like Arjuna and Uddhava, go back to the spiritual world. There is no more taking birth after that. One is finished with once for all, no more material body. That's what it means. And in both cases, in case of Arjuna as well as in case of Uddhava, you will find Krishna as the supreme spiritual master there. That is what is more interesting. It is not here as the supreme personality of Godhead Krishna is acting. Krishna is acting as the supreme spiritual master. And that supreme spiritual master, Jagal Guru Krishna, is speaking to Uddhava and speaking to Arjuna. So when he spoke to Uddhava, Krishna decided that this ultimate knowledge should stay in this world for the benefit of the human society. And he also mentioned there that to Uddhava, that when Uddhava complained to Krishna that what will happen to me if I drop off before I get to Badrinath, Krishna said to Uddhava, there is no question of you dying before that. You will get to Badrinath. Hand over this information to Naranarayana Rishi is there. And then when I call you, you can come back to the spiritual world. See how fortunate person Uddhava was. That is precisely the reason that Uddhava's this most glorious position in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as Krishna has recognized him as his topmost devotee. Therefore, following the footsteps of Uddhava is the most ideal thing. Just like following Arjuna, one can understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita. One understands Bhagavad Gita through Arjuna. Arjuna is nimitta matram bhava samyasajin. It was only a cause. Krishna keeping Arjuna as a cause, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to the world. Similarly, keeping Uddhava as a cause, Krishna spoke these final instructions to this world. So, in this end of ninth canto, these two things have been spoken so clearly that it pushes anybody who reads Srimad Bhagavatam to take serious interest in these two topics, Bhagavad Gita as well as Ekadasha Skandham of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what do you require to understand them? And if one does not understand these two literature, great literature of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, one has not understood anything, spiritual knowledge, that is the conclusion of the authorities. Great authorities, they say, even Srila Prabhupada has commented here about it. If you read his own commentary here, if you take the end of ninth canto, what does Krishna say about, what did Prabhupada said about that? He says here, the last verse, in fact the last three, four verses as I mentioned before, was actually talking about Krishna, what Krishna did here. Prior to that, it also mentioned that how the dynasty continued. Vasudeva appeared, Devaki appeared, Devaka appeared, Ugrasena was there, and then the whole story of the dynasty, which most of the people are aware of, so I'm not going to repeat that. And it's already there in the Mahabharatam also. So those who have read Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam, they can easily remember the relationships. But there you will see one or two things that in this relation, while coming closer to the end of this chapter, Sri Shukan has become very serious and he started mentioning about what he's going to talk in the 10th canto. And that is what you will notice there in the few verses before the close of this chapter, where he says there that that after bringing all the family tree, he says here, Kirtimandam Sushenam Ja Badrasenam Udharadi Hrinjam Samardhanam Madram Sangarshanam Ahishwaram. Sangarshanam is Lord Balaram. Balaram's appearance he has mentioned in that words. Ashtamastu Dayo Rasil Soyameva Hari Kila Subhadraja Mahabhaga Havarajan Pidamahi. That on the eighth child, Krishna himself came. Ashtamastu Dayo Rasil Soyameva Hari Kila Subhadraja Mahabhaga Havarajan Pidamahi. Balaram's appearance in two or three places. He appeared here in the Bhagavatam and later on in the third chapter also. You will find there where from womb of Devaki Devi, Sangarshanamurti was transferred to Rohini Devi's Rohini Devi's womb. That was requested by Krishna to Yogamaya, and Yogamaya executed that instruction. That you can read later. So there is one appearance of Balaram there. But thinking that may not be, that may be forgotten, Sri Shukan has mentioned here the appearance of Balaram. That is what you can notice here. Shruti Kirti Mandam Sushenanja Badrasena Mudaradi Hrijam Samardhanam Badram Sangarshana Mahishwaram Ashtamastu Dayora Asil Soyameva Harikila Subhadra Jamaha Bhaga Tavarajan Pidamahim. That Ashtamastu, on the eighth appearance, it was Krishna who came. Soyameva Harikila. Then who else? Your grandmother. That means Arjuna and Subhadra married. As you know, that story later on comes in the Bhagavatam also. How Arjuna wanted to marry Subhadra. It's one of the most fascinating stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that how Krishna engineered the whole thing for Arjuna to marry Subhadra. Subhadra was supposed to be married to Duryodhana. And Duryodhana lost the chance. And Arjuna had to take sannyas to marry Subhadra. So that whole story comes later. It's one of the Subhadravaharanam. It's one of the most fascinating stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And how the person who has actually created all this, who created Brahmachari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam and all that, Krishna has created this. Who created the Varna and Ashram, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all this Krishna has created. And that Krishna himself is saying to Arjuna, take sannyas, that's the only way you can get married to Subhadra, he said. So you can see, if it suits Krishna is concerned everything what suits the situation. There is no problem in that. Whereas in Ramachandra, we'll never think in that direction. He could even imagine that such a thing could be done. But as far as Krishna is concerned, there is no such problem. Everything is according to time, place and circumstances, like devotees say. So, so our utility is the principle as far as Krishna is concerned. So Krishna decided that to marry Subhadra, there is no other way Arjuna could marry Subhadra unless he agreed to take sannyas. And that whole episode comes later on in the Bhagavatam. We'll discuss then. But here, it mentions there that Subhadra, their son was Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu was killed in the battle, but meanwhile Abhimanyu was married to Uttaradevi. And that Abhimanyu's son is our Parikshit Maharaj, who is hearing this from Sri Shukan. So Shishugan was saying to Parikshit, you are so fortunate to be related in a bodily level even with the Supreme Lord and to Arjuna like this. So how fortunate. In other words, Sri Sukadeva Goswami was making Parikshit to be aware of that there is nothing to worry in this world as long as you take to the shelter of the Supreme Personality Krishna. This worry and fear and all these things comes to one person when he is not connected to Krishna. That is why Ekadasha Skandam is so important from this point of view, that Krishna makes one aware of one's own individual responsibility in executing spiritual life according to Krishna's instructions. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, after that, in the next few verses, he mentions there, Nahyasya janmano hetu karmano vamahipade alpamayam mineshasya parasya drashtura alpmanam yanmaya cheshyadapam sastitulpatyapayahi anugrahastam nivarte atmalabhaya cheshyade akshohirinam padivirasure nyabalanjane bhuakramyamanaya abharaya krudodhyamam karmani aparimeyani manasabi sureshware saha sangarshanaschakre bhagavan madhusudanam. So what all activities Krishna has performed here, sometimes with the help of Yogamaya and sometimes with the help of Balaram, different pastimes what he has performed in this world. And he is above every karma. Karmani abarimeyani manasabi sureshwari saha sangarshanaschakre bhagavan madhusudanam. And if you see the next words, kalau janishyamananam dukkha shogatamonudam anugrahaya bhaktanam supunyam vidanodhyasham. See that verse. It is such an important verse. Kalau janishyamananam. People who are born in the, like us, we great personalities who are appeared in this great age of Kali. So addressing us, it says, Kalau janishyamananam. And what is our life? Dukkha shogatamo anujam. You cannot find better words than these two words in Sanskrit language to use distress. Dukkham and shogam. What does it mean, dukkham and shogam? Dukkha means always in distress. Always in distress. And shoka means always lamenting. Can you imagine these two things together inside the mind all the 24 hours? How it will be. And it is fact of life. If you look at every one of us, is there anything else going on through our mind except these two? From morning to night, from waking up in the morning, right up to going to bed. Anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. Created anxieties, one after the other. Dukkha shoga tamonujam. Tamonujam. Dukkha shoga tamonutam. And then, anugrahaya bhaktanam. And those who are caught up in that situation, in this world. Those who are fallen, victimized by this kind of life, and who have got into that situation of no escape, ultimately from that. For their purpose, anugrahaya bhaktanam supunyam vedanadhyasham. What does supunyam vedanadhyasha means? It is just to tell us, for example, if you fast on Ekadashi day, it is considered to be auspicious. But this is more than Ekadashi. Why? It says here, supunyam vedanadhyasham, that this itself is auspicious. You don't have to fast or anything. If you just absorb this, what has been explained in the next few chapters in the 10th canto, because it is the childhood of Krishna. So, he says, for the age of Kali, those who are caught up in this wonderful age, and who are always experiencing dukkham and shogam and nothing else in life. In fact, many people will say, this is the most wonderful age to live. Why? No responsibility. You can do what you like. And then, anything you do, it's okay. Nobody will ask you anything. And if there is something, you can find a pramanam for that also from somewhere. You will say, oh, this is okay. And that is okay. Everything is okay. Don't bother me. I won't bother you. This is the attitude. So, no rule, no regulation. Everything makes easier in life, isn't it? No commitment to anybody. And if society is such a situation, society doesn't tell you anything. What rule to follow, what not to follow. So that makes life a lot easier. Work a lot, earn a lot of money, spend freely, enjoy life and forget about it. This is what a glorious life. And this is what Kali Yuga has offered us. And in that process, what normally happens is, at some point in life, one gets distressed with it. Because these things cannot make a spirit soul happy. Spirit soul has its own role, and it is a part and parcel of Krishna. Somehow or the other, God embodied in this cage of material body. And if it is trying to find happiness in this material environment of material body and senses, Krishna has already explained in many instances in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam that it cannot find happiness there. It has to come to spiritual life. And if that spiritual life is not bothering him anymore in Kali Yuga, that is why he is in distress all the time. Kalau janishyamananam dukkha shogam tamonidam anugrahaya bhaktanam supunyam vedanodyasham. So only for this purpose, exclusively for this purpose, those who are distressed in this age of Kali, because there are thoughtful people in this world. Everyone is not living a life of a cat or a dog. There are people who are thoughtful, and they have come to this realization that it is they who feel the distress more. Why? Because normally people who are addicted to sense gratification, their mind will never come out of tamogunam. It is always in tamogunam. And because it is in tamogunam, they have only two activities, sense gratification and then sleep. Sense gratification, then sleep. This is the two things they do throughout their life. So for such people who are addicted to sense gratification and sleep, then tamogunam will not allow you to think anything higher than that. But when one starts thinking about the purpose of human life and the goal of human life, one automatically would not feel very happy with the lifestyle what we are all in today. It's not giving any satisfaction in any way. And therefore, those who feel distressed about it, is that why I have to waste my 60, 70 years of life in this world simply to earn and to spend and to earn to exploit the senses? Is that the ultimate goal of life? Any thoughtful person will ask this question. And because Krishna knew that there will be some people in the age of Kali who will have that question, to satisfy their desire, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandam. Through these two great instructions, Krishna mentions there human life as a higher goal, and that goal and the way to achieve that goal, Krishna discussed in these two books, in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Ekadasha Skandam. So prior to concluding this chapter, Krishna, Vedavyasa Maharshi and Sri Shukan says there, the three last verses, yasti ananam makarakundala charyu karnam brajal kapola subagam savilasahasam nityolsavam nadadurbur dishvipi bandyo naryo narashchamudida kubida nimescham. Krishna's childhood, that how the beauty of Krishna, how that is manifested in that particular form, and how it attracted the whole people of the Vrajam, or those who associated with Krishna in that at that time. And then at the end, Krishna says, Sri Shukan says, Prochodhavaya Javaram Samagal Sudhamam. After that he spoke to Uddhava and returned to his abode. Srila Prabhupada's commentary on this is worthwhile reading through. Sri Prabhupada says the last words of the ninth canto, the last words. He says here, the translation. Thereafter, Lord Sri Krishna created a misunderstanding between family members just to diminish the burden of the world. Simply by his glance, he annihilated all the demoniac kings on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and declared victory for Arjuna. Finally, he instructed Uddhavas about transcendental life and devotion, and then returned to his abode in his original form. Purport. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya dushkradam. The mission of Lord Krishna was performed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. For by the Lord's mercy, Arjuna was victorious due to being a great devotee, whereas the others were killed simply by the Lord's glance, which cleansed them of all sinful activities and enabled them to attain Sairupyam. Finally, Lord Krishna instructed Uddhava about the transcendental life of devotional service, and then in due course of time, he returned to his abode. The Lord's instruction in the form of Bhagavad Gita are full of jnanam and vairagyam, knowledge and renunciation. C. see how Srila Prabhupada has given importance to jnanam and renunciation. The Lord's instructions in the form of Bhagavad Gita are full of jnanam and vairagyam, knowledge and renunciation. In the human form of life, one must learn these two things. One must learn these two things, how to become detached from the material world and how to acquire full knowledge in spiritual life. This is the Lord's mission, paritranaya sadhuinam vinashaya dushkritam. After executing his complete mission, the Lord returned to his home, Goloka Vrindavanam. So you can see that is the conclusion of Bhagavadam up to this point. That there is only one thing. Bhagavadam, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavadam, what does it say? Beginning, Vedavyasa Maharshi says there that the purpose of Srimad Bhagavadam is to develop these two things, jnanam and vairagyam. When these two things are there, adequate in a person, automatically he can appreciate the 10th and 11th canto. And this is the reason, just to create these two things, knowledge and renunciation, that Sukadeva Goswami has taken these 9 cantos to bring us to that understanding. That without knowledge, if you have heard Srimad Bhagavatam for so many months, and if you have read Srimad Bhagavatam for so many months, and if you have taken serious interest and thought about all these things, what we were discussing all these months, you will think, at least to some extent, why these two things are so important in life. Without these two, without this knowledge and renunciation, the two essential limbs of the body, of the devotion, devotion cannot develop within the heart. This is the conclusion of all the great acharyas and authorities. Unless and until we come to that platform of knowledge and renunciation, Krishna consciousness and love for Krishna or devotion for Krishna will not develop in one's heart. And that is precisely the reason, repeatedly, throughout these 9 cantos, Sukadeva Goswami has prepared us, or particularly all the householders, who are so absorbed in their family business and paying the bills, that they get an opportunity to think a little bit about spiritual life as well. So that is where we finish this 9th canto. So we will start with the 10th canto next Sunday. And hopefully we have to pray to Krishna that we have no qualification. What is our qualification to understand Krishna? We have no qualification. We are people who do not know what is renunciation. We are people who have no idea what spiritual knowledge means. That is the type of people we are. And it is us, we are trying to understand the position of the Supreme Personality, Krishna. And we are trying to understand his instructions also in the next 10th and 11th cantos constantly from now on. So to understand all this, it is not easy. Why? Because Sukadeva Goswami will measure us, will measure the listeners to what extent they are qualified to hear Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is in the 10th canto and Krishna's instructions are in the 11th canto. In other words, from now on, for many, many chapters, it is Krishna we are going to discuss about. And to understand Krishna, unless we have Krishna's mercy, we cannot understand Krishna. It is beyond our capacity to understand Krishna. Great, great acharyas of great intelligence, Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many, many great personalities, they have tried to understand and explain about Krishna. Even they find hard when it comes to Krishna's position, because everyone has a uniform opinion, agreement on this one point, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to understand Krishna, no one can understand him in the complete. So therefore, when we are trying to, what does Sridharacharya Swamiji says about this in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he wanted to write his commentary, Kwaham Mandamadi, that where am I? Who was Mandamadi. He is acknowledging himself as Mandamadi. Mandamadi means one who has got the minimum intelligence. Sridharacharya Swamiji is saying this. Now, if he is saying like that, which category should we put ourselves into? That's what I was thinking, that if he is declaring himself as Mandamadi, whose commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the highest acceptable commentary to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is our position then? Kwaham Mandamadi Khedam Mandana Kshiravaride. That this Bhagavatam is like a milk ocean, he says. Like the milk ocean, you remember the Amrutamathanam story we discussed in the 8th canto. When Krishna decided to churn the milk ocean, that story, Bhagavatam is like that. He says, it is like that, Bhagavatam is like that milk ocean. Yatrado paramanurvai, that, and I am a small paramanu, a small anu or bacteria or worm in that, trying to understand this whole milk ocean. What's my position? That is why, that is our situation. We may think that, oh, I will read Bhagavatam and I will understand everything. We will not understand Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is never understood. Every verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada often mentioned, that is contains so much high spiritual knowledge and instructions that even after lifetime spent on studying Srimad Bhagavatam, people are finding it hard to understand the mystery of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is Bhagavatam. And that Bhagavatam, essence of that Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi and Sudeva Goswami in this 10th canto try to present to us in the most fascinating way. And Parikshit Maharaj started drinking the nectar from now on. That also you will notice from the next chapter. When Parikshit begins his real happiness, he has forgotten that 4.5 days he has not eaten, he has not drunk anything, and he was waiting for this. Pibandam tvanmukhambojam achyutam harikatha amratam. Harikatha, Krishna's story, this is what he wanted. And when it comes from a personality like Sudeva Goswami's mouth, Pibandam tvanmukhambojam, from the face of Lord, Sri Shukan, when it comes there, achyutam harikatha amratam. Pibandam tvanmukhambojam achyutam harikatha amratam. Harikatha becomes an nectar. That is what Parikshit Maharaj said to Sri Shukan. So, we will continue this discussion on the 10th canto from next Sunday. So, please try to come. And we will like to continue as soon as possible to go through the 10th and 11th canto. Because they are very two long cantos. And hopefully we will finish by Krishna's mercy. We can continue discussing that. If there is any questions or comments, please. As far as Krishna is concerned, no matter what we plan here and arrange things, Krishna has a higher understanding of these things. Krishna thought that Devabhi should stay because Devabhi has been expelled from the kingdom. Expelled means he was not offered the kingdom on the pretext that he did not accept the Vedic authority. But actually the whole thing was planned by the ministers of the palace, who decided that Shantanu should be the king. Now, this is why I was mentioning this specifically, that in this world, this kind of manipulation has been going on all the time. If you like somebody and you want him to be the leader, all you have to do is to make a propaganda first against him, and then collect a group of people together and say that man is no good. And he goes. And then somebody else, you want to install him, you impose upon him, superimpose upon him, even those qualities it doesn't have, and make a propaganda out of that. So this kind of thing always happens in this world. How dangerous material world is, this is what it is pointing out. These things are showing to us how careful one should be in this world while dealing with this kind of situations. It's very easy to be dragged along like a sheep and you can follow, but that will not help the situation. The way to understand that propaganda makes everything difficult. And that's what the ministers use the propaganda machine nicely to get their way through. But as far as Krishna is concerned, Devabhi hasn't done anything wrong. Devabhi was put into this difficulty. So he decided, no, Devabhi should stay. That was Krishna's decision. After all, it is Krishna's decision that will stay, not our We can manipulate anything we want, but that is not going to stay. Krishna's decision will stay. So Krishna decided that Devapi should continue. So this whole lunar dynasty will continue in the next Satyugam through Devapi. Normally not. Unless he is so exalted personality. Like Srila Prabhupada, you say Jagat Guru. Boy, he's so exalted in his different conclusions on this. Because sometimes a personality comes and by his extraordinary activities, without Krishna's desire, it would not have happened. Things would not have happened. So when somebody executes activities like that, they are addressed as Jagadguru. But not in the ordinary level. If you use Jagadguru for ordinary people, then it becomes you are cheapening the whole thing. Now generally, it is referred to, there is a verse, Vasudeva, it is in the glorification of Bhagavad Gita. You will read this. If you read the glorification of Bhagavad Gita, it says there, Vasudeva Sudam Devam, Kamsachanura Mardanam Devagi Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum. So Krishna is addressed there as Jagadguru. Because he is actually the spiritual master. Original spiritual master is Krishna. And all this Vedic knowledge comes from where? It comes from Krishna. And if Krishna has not left Bhagavad Gita and the Ekadasha Skandam in the Bhagavadam, what do we have? Nothing. Where is our spiritual understanding? So therefore, the actual personality behind spiritual knowledge is Krishna. And that is why Krishna is addressed as Jagadguru. So normally, it is always Krishna who is addressed as Jagadguru. Or in exceptional circumstances, some great acharyas and great devotees also are referred to as, out of respect, they are addressed as Jagadguru. Yeah?
You know that Krishna stays in our heart at Paramatma. When soul leaves body, does this Paramatma goes with the soul or Paramatma goes back to spiritual?
No, goes with the soul.
Goes with the soul.
Yeah. Paramatma is always there to watch us. Otherwise we will cheat him. The moment we get the first opportunity, we will cheat him. That is why you don't cheat him. That is why he is going with us all the time. So that, but still we cheat him. That is the interesting thing. Because we think, yeah, he doesn't see us. He doesn't know what we are doing. So, but he is seeing everything. He knows before you think something, he knows what you are thinking. Before, by the time it comes to your head and start manifesting in its action, before that he knows, so this man is ready for the next project. So that is how it is. That's why Paramatma is always with us. He never leaves us. That soul is soul, the whole powerful soul, how powerful soul is, if you want to understand that, you can see that we give so much undue importance to the body. We consider this body, to protect this body, how many hours we spend in the day to maintain it, to beautify it. And this whole industry, you think about it, you know how much billions of pounds are invested in this so-called fashion industry. You cannot believe it. And they are thinking they are all very intelligent people. They don't even know that this temporary material body to maintain, they have running this big huge industry, which will any moment collapse, or in other words, it has no astitvam. Astitvam means it has no existence. It is a temporary thing. But because of ignorance, identify with the body and the bodily expansions and all that, it happens like this. But the point we have to remember is, once you come to the spiritual platform and understand the potency of the spirit soul, only then you can appreciate how much in ignorance we are. Only when you more study about the powerful nature of the soul has a strong connection with the super soul, both in the form of Paramatma, as the weakness of all our activities. And in addition to that, when the soul is liberated, it is in relationship with the super soul, closer to super soul than any time before. At the moment, we have no connection with the super soul. We don't know what that connection means. That is why we are saying that in spiritual life, unless and until one develops these understandings that our relationship with the super soul and connection with the super soul, we will always being will be driven by the modes of nature. That is why it mentions very clearly there, develop this knowledge and renunciation. Knowledge is what? Knowledge means the spiritual potency of us, or our own spiritual nature, and the powerful spiritual strength we have. If it is developed properly, how powerful you could be. Whereas on the other hand, all our so-called education, we have wasting so many years in university, studying so much garbage, just not knowing even the very basis of spirituality. So what do we gain? So that's why it is mentioned like this and given importance to the spirit soul. That Bhagavadam only talks about knowledge. For as far as Bhagavadam is concerned, knowledge means knowledge of the soul, not the body. Nothing else matters there. When you come to Ekadasha Skandam, you will notice there, chapter after chapter, Krishna is talking about the soul only, nothing else. Why? Because as far as body is concerned, what is there much to know? Krishna says, he knows what is the ingredients in that body. As soon as you know the ingredients, you don't want to know anything more about it. So this is the nature of the material body. Yeah? So that is why the science of the soul is a very interesting topic, and it is something worthwhile investing one's time and life. Yes. Which is hearing Krishna about Krishna.
Which is just
yes, particularly the activities of Krishna in the 10th canto. The childhood. Eh?
It says in the
yeah, it says there. You can read that. Supunya Vedanodisha. It says there. Then what is Punyam? Punyam means auspicious thing. What is the auspiciousness you gain is by hearing about Krishna. That is more auspicious. Ekadashi is no doubt is punyam. It brings punyam. Or in other words, it brings auspiciousness. But Krishna's pastimes are such that itself is auspicious. Ekadashi you have to fast. Whereas this you don't have to even fast. You can just sit and listen. Yes. And hear. That is why it is so auspicious. Yeah. That because when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, there are three things happening at the same time. One, hearing. And the other one, Shrinadam Dhyayadam. Shodavya Kirtidavyascha Dhyaya Bhujascha Nityada. Shodavyam means to hear. Kirtidam means to glorify. And Smartavyam means to smarana, to remember. So three things out of the 9 processes of devotional service. You can do 3 things at one time simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why it mentions like that. The power of Bhagavatam is there in this thing. Why? That using Parikshit as an example, in 7 days' time, Parikshit didn't do anything except that he sat there and he listened about Krishna and he was back in the spiritual world. Is there any other easier process than that to go back to spiritual world? You can imagine. Just 7 days only you have to spend in this life. We have spent the whole rest of 70 years in doing all rubbish. But if you can sit 7 days and listen Bhagavatam, in that way that Parikshit has listened, that's enough to go back to spiritual world. That's just to show the importance of hearing process. That's such a powerful process, that this Bhagavatam is such a powerful literature, that when one takes it seriously and studies it properly and advance on that life, then his spiritual life, Sri Shukan is guaranteeing that you do not need anything else. And what does Bhagavatam ultimately mean? Bhagavatam means only one thing. Bhagavatam's conclusion is to drive us to chant Hare Krishna. That is the goal of all this. That just like the gopis in Vrindavanam, what would they do? They didn't study Bhagavatam, but they were Bhagavatam themselves. All 24 hours, all they were doing was calling Rama and Krishna. It is they who actually invented this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Gopis in Vrindavanam. They invented this. Why? They started calling Rama, Rama, Krishna, Krishna. This was the whole time on their lips. And it became the Mahamantra in due course. That's all. So you can see that the gopis succeeded in their life by chanting the holy names. Of course, they chanted properly, not like us. Our mind is somewhere else when we are chanting. But when gopis were chanting, their mind was focused on Krishna. So because it was done properly, the result was also there accordingly. So to reach that state of attachment to Krishna's names, Srimad Bhagavatam can help. That is the advantage of studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam can bring a person to that level of realization that he will not be able to give up chanting the holy name of Krishna. All the Goswamis have proved to us that. That's what they have proved to us. That study Srimad Bhagavatam, and from Bhagavatam you will get the holy name properly, and you will relish Srimad Bhagavatam as well as chanting the holy name. So when we chant holy name normally in our life, and when we don't take Krishna Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, we always have a big struggle for a long time. Not that holy name is not potent in itself, it is potent in itself. But because the lower modes of nature are so strong in us, Rajas and Tamas, it takes a long time to come out of it. And because of the lower association, the lower modes of nature, our human mind by nature itself like to stick around these lower modes. It is its nature is like that. Where Srimad Bhagavatam, when one studies seriously, Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam himself, he says, Yatha yadalma parimrjyate sau malpunya ghata shravana abhidanehi. As and when you remember, realize that your mind is going in the lower modes, you should hear about me, Krishna says. Malpunya ghata shravana abhidanehi. If you hear that, tadha tadha vashyadi vastu sushmam, then you will start seeing the spiritual reality behind it. That is how it happens. So, Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting Hare Krishna, they go together, and that makes perfect.
You mentioned that our future understanding or understanding of Canto 10 and 11 will depend on our renunciation and knowledge. And that is relative to per person. Could you sort of elaborate on how we could actually mark this?
So, the renunciation and knowledge means that we must recognize our own limitations. Yeah, we all have attachment. It is no point in saying that I am not attached, I am renounced, this, that and the other. This renunciation, what's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that kind of renunciation is not easy to attain in a few days. But if a person who hears Srimad Bhagavatam, as long as he is aware that he is not developing the love for Krishna or devotion in his heart, he has to blame himself only. Nobody else has to be blamed. That if one's own heart is full of material desires and material thoughts, then it is very difficult for Krishna to enter there and to develop some attachment for Krishna. That is why, of course, it will vary from person to person, depending on one's experience in this world and one's material situation. All these things can change. But basically the qualification to become a devotee of Krishna is these two things, knowledge and renunciation. If you have those two things, very high degree in you, Krishna consciousness is like a fruit in your hand. It will come to you. Because it's not there, we find it so hard. It becomes day by day more and more struggle in every way. So important point is how to cultivate them, how to cultivate knowledge and renunciation. If one constantly churns the ideas, what's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and accepts what Sudeva Goswami has spoken from first canto right up to ninth canto and different instances, study them, think about them, reflect on them, and naturally, automatically, our attitude in life will change. Today, what you consider as important in life, tomorrow it won't be important. It is only for the moment you consider something as important in life. Today, what you are finding it difficult to give up, tomorrow they will give you up. They will give up and they'll go. Those personalities whom you love and you are so attached in this world, whom you think as they are yours and mine, and all this kind of attachment that has built up in our own mind unknowingly due to our own association with different personalities. And at some point we find very hard to give up that attachment. But Shishugan says in the Bhagavatam that as much as renunciation and knowledge builds up inside, automatically those personalities whom you find very hard to give up attachment, they will leave you and go. And then your attachment, that is how Krishna solves that problem. Because Kunti Devi said this to Krishna. In her prayers you can see that. What did she say to them? Say to Krishna. Krishna said, Kunti Devi said to Krishna, that on the one that is what is interesting. Kunti Devi said to Krishna first, that Krishna was boarding the chariot to go back to Dwaraka. It was then that Kunti Devi asked Krishna to stay back. So when Krishna stayed back, Krishna was looking at Kunti Devi, and Kunti Devi was saying to Krishna that if you want to go, please go. But I can tell you one thing, if you go, we will finish here. There will be no one left here. All the Pandavas and me will be gone. Because behind Duryodhana was engineering things to organizing for the destroying them. Krishna said, no, I will stay here. I won't go back. I'll stay here, he said. Then Kunti Devi thought it's a bit selfish to ask Krishna to stay. So what did she say to him? She said, don't go, you should go, because if you don't go, what will happen to all the Yadavas and Vrishnis there? They are also relatives of mine. And it is improper for me to asking you to stay. Like this, back and forth, Kunti Devi's mind was like a pendulum in the clock, wavering this way, that way. Our mind also, it's not different when some instances, whether this is right or that's right, mind goes up and down, this is both right. So at that time, Krishna smiled at Kunti Devi and looked at Kunti Devi and made Kunti Devi to speak the truth. That is the interesting thing. The words didn't come from Krishna, but it came from Kunti Devi. But who prompted Kunti Devi to speak like that? Krishna prompted Kunti Devi to speak like that. And what did she say? She said in the Kunti's prayers, you can see, she said that I am saying Pandavas are my relatives, my children, and they are my relatives. I'm also saying that the Vrishnis and the Yadavas are also my relatives. And I'm saying to you that you should stay here and you should go there. Two things at the same time. But actually, it is not your fault, Kunti Devi says there. That she said there that Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. I have one rope of attachment to my children, Pandavas. I have another rope of attachment to Vrishnis, the Yadavas. Please take your scissors and cut both these ropes. This is what Kunti Devi said to Krishna. If you cut these two ropes on either side, I am freed. Because these two attachments are holding me here. Sneha Basham, that is what it's called, the rope of attachment. Sneha Basham. Sneha Basham Imam Chindhi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. Oh, towards the Pandavas I have attachment, towards the Vrishnis I have attachment. But if you cut this attachment, then I am released from this connection once for all. That is, it is not easy to come to this conclusion easily. And Kunti Devi could speak this only because Kunti Devi was prompted by Krishna from within to speak like that. So that is why the prayers of Kunti Devi didn't study any Vedanta philosophy or anything. But she understood what is Vairagyam means. That renunciation, proper renunciation had come to her. Same thing you will find in the third canto, Tritiya Skandam also. What happened to Devahuti Devi? For many, many months, Devahuti was not ready to take spiritual life seriously. After enjoying in the heavenly planets Nandanam, Chaitra Ratham and all, with this massive airplane sent from Vaikuntha, they were traveling, and with Kardama Prajavati, Devahuti Devi enjoyed for years together. And after all that was over, when the plane landed back, they had 9 children born from that relationship. 9 daughters were born, isn't it? And they were born married to the 9 sages. So what happens then? At that point, there is a description in the Bhagavatam that Kapila Vasudeva, who was born as the 10th child, he appeared only to instruct Devahuti Devi on spiritual life. Kardama Prajavati took sannyas and left, went to the forest. And it is only then Devahuti Devi started thinking about this life. She started thinking, what is the purpose of this life? Is it just to enjoy like this and die at the end? So when that thought came up to her, little by little renunciation started building up. And all this was being observed by Kapila Vasudeva. Kapila Muni was observing this. He said she is not ready yet. Let the right time come before I start instructing her in spiritual life. And one day she came up to him. The mother, Devahuti Devi, came up to Kapila Vasudeva and told him, Nirvenna Nidaram Bhuman Asad Indriya Darshanal Yena Sambhavyamanena Prabhanandham Tama Prabho. That is, one verse is enough. In the whole Bhagavatam you can find. Never in the history one mother has spoken like this. Like Devahuti Devi has spoken.
I wonder whether ever in the future a mother will speak like that. That is the beauty of that verse, that she says there that I have continuously satisfied my senses. Basically, life means only one thing, sense gratification. We may be thinking, oh, I'm not eating anything fancy, I'm not doing anything else. But the fact that the whole mind is absorbed in doing, gratifying the mind all the time through different means, through senses of knowledge, senses of action. Strictly speaking, from the viewpoint of spiritual life, all we are doing most of the time during the day is sense gratification. So Devahuti Devi mentioned this to Karada Prajavadi, that Asad Indriya Darshanal Ena Sambhavyamanena Prapannantham Tama Prabhavam, that this ignorance that has covered me throughout, that I come to this understanding that if I go on living like this, I will totally get destroyed in that process. Because that's what will happen. That if one man addicted to too much of sense gratification, a person who has addicted himself, spend his whole lifetime in sense gratification, the result will be that he will destroy himself at the end. Either accept another body, lower form of body, or die in sadness, in death, not achieving anything in this life. So you can see that there is a certain degree of renunciation required before one can understand spiritual life. So that is why these nine cantos were spoken by Sudeva Goswami, to bring us to that point, knowledge and renunciation, essential, without which don't read Srimad Bhagavatam, you're wasting time. That's his message. And the tenth canto particularly, if you want to get attracted to Krishna and attachment to build up inside, you just have to follow this instruction. And that is why many of the devotees who study Srimad Bhagavatam, they try to limit their material activities to such an extent that they see how best they can make progress, because they know at the end of the day, on the end of the life, what matters is how much you have become Krishna conscious, not that how much you enjoyed your material life. That is no meaning.
I've got a question. This is what you said earlier about the Durga Samhita, and you compared it with the other Krishna.
Yes, yes.
And then you compared, you said that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is there while he's not really there in the other scriptures, or as much.
No, I didn't say like that. What I said was that there are many Puranas which glorify Krishna.
Right.
Krishna's pastimes and childhood, and particularly, and life is explained in many other Puranas. Particularly Vishnu Puranam. Vishnu Puranam was written by Vedavyasa Maharshi's father. Parashara Maharshi wrote Vishnu Puranam. In that there are many chapters referring to Krishna. Similarly, in Brahma Puranam also, Brahma Puranam, there are many, many chapters about Krishna's childhood and Krishna's pastimes in Dwaraka and everything. So many chapters mentioned there. As well as in Garga Samhita also. But what makes Garga Samhita interesting is, Garga Samhita didn't take the Ekadasha Skandham very seriously. That part is not covered in there. On the other hand, what you don't find in any other Puranas, you find something in Garga Samhita. What is that? Goloka Vrindavan. Normally, Shweta Dvipam, Vaikuntham, all these places are places of residence of Vishnu, isn't it? But beyond all the Shweta Dvipam and Vaikuntham and all that, exists Golokam. And that conclusion and description of that is in the Garga Samhita, Garga Bhagavata.
Yeah, what I'm trying to actually say by you saying that Krishna is in the other Brahmas, you mentioned that when Krishna was talking to Uddhava, that he says, I'm in the Bhagavatam, as opposed to any other books in Vishnu Purana.
Yeah,
right? So what I'm trying to actually say, are we wasting our time with all the other scriptures and not...
No, if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, that is enough.
You don't need
anything else. Yes, absolutely. No question about that. Yes. Bhagavatam is more than enough. But those who are inquisitive to know more about, suppose you get to know about Garga Maharshi later on, when you want to know about Garga Maharshi, what happened to him afterwards, you can read this book, Garga Samhita. It will tell you more about it. It's a question of how much you desire to know. If you want to know more, there is more material available. That's what it means.
Yeah, but your level of progression...
But if you study Srimad Bhagavatam thoroughly and understand Bhagavatam, you don't require anything else. Bhagavatam is the Srimad is the
Srimad Bhagavatam is the scripture for this age of Kali. There is no question about that.
Is that much more than the Bhagavad Gita?
Srimad Bhagavatam?
Yeah. So, you know, you, because you also describe the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
But then you indicate that...
Yeah. You see, Bhagavatam, if you ask devotees who are studying seriously, they'll tell you, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam goes together. Yeah.
Okay.
Ekadasha Skandham, if you open up and look at all the chapters, see the titles. Many of them are same in the Bhagavad Gita as well. You must have noticed that. So because it is like that, the reason for that is that transcendental knowledge cannot be different. It's the same. But when he spoke to Arjuna in the battlefield, Krishna's desire was that Arjuna should fight the war. He wanted to bring him up to that point. Whereas with Uddhava, he was already a devotee and he already had enough realizations in life. So Uddhava was asking questions. There's 21 questions Uddhava has asked in the Ekadasha Skandham to Krishna. And answering these 21 questions for 21 chapters, it took more than 26 chapters for Krishna to reply them. And because he had a longer time with Uddhava, and Krishna wanted to deliver more to Uddhava, Krishna has expanded on what he has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So if you study both Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam together, that is the perfection of the spiritual knowledge. You don't need anything to more from that.
According to Shastras, what is the shortest time in which one can receive complete knowledge and renunciation and maybe pure devotion?
Yes. You see, the thing is that it is not a project, first of all. It's a project only, you can give a time plan, isn't it? You put a same time bar chart or something like that and start the project. It's not like that. Prabhupada said that you can happen in 1 second, it can happen in 1 million lifetimes. It all depends to a large degree, depending on Krishna's mercy, how Krishna feels for our desire. And when our desire gets stronger, and when we become serious and serious, and as I mentioned, this Jnana Vairagyam develops in a person, seriously, when renunciation knowledge, automatically, little by little, Krishna will reveal himself. That is the experience of most of the great devotees. That everything won't happen overnight in 1 second. No. That's not how spiritual life develops. Spiritual life develops in stages. That according to the degree of renunciation, detachment, Krishna reveals himself certain things to you. And when you get some light from Krishna, you get more enthused to go further in that direction. When you have no light, then you are getting worried. Why is it happening to me? So spiritual life advances coming in that way. Stage by stage it develops. How much time it takes, no one has a definite answer for that. It could be in one lifetime. Prabhupada said it, if you are chanting your rounds correctly and if you are following principles properly and if you do not engage in any sinful activities or serving Maya any other way, it could be finished in one lifetime. It doesn't have to go to another life. If not, even if it doesn't happen in this lifetime, at least in another few lifetimes, it might be possible to finish up this business of, you know, rebirth. Tell him not to get attached to that form. You should tell him what Bhagavatam says, that the story we're talking about Vichitravirya is that. Vichitravirya was very attached to his opposite sex. And the result was that he got this disease called Rajayashmav. Rajayashmav is very close to TB. It's a kind of illness he gets. And he just killed himself at the end. He died because of that. So if a man is not careful in sense gratification, and maintains his celibacy and look after himself, because life, body, in the 90th chapter of the 10th canto, you will see why senses were given to us. Our normal understanding is senses are for enjoyment, isn't it? That's what we normally think. No. Bhagavatam says no. Senses are not only for enjoyment. Matrarthancha bhavarthancha kalpane agalpanayaja. That sense gratification is not actually the purpose of the senses. Purpose of the senses to advance spiritually. That is what senses are meant for use. But when you don't use it, you misunderstand that senses are for sense enjoyment, and we go in the wrong route, and we eventually destroy ourselves. So all you can do is to warn people who follow that route, and if they want to hear, they will hear, but if they don't want to hear, you have to leave them to themselves. What can you do? Nothing is in our control. Inside, they also have to, you have to remember that Krishna is behind everything. Their good association with devotees, a little bit thoughtful nature, freedom from the lower modes of nature, all this comes into this. It's not just you say something to somebody and he just does it. It doesn't happen like that. The person's modes of nature, his karma behind, what is driving him through all sense gratification, association with devotees, desire for cultivating spiritual knowledge, all these are necessary in a person's life. Okay, we'll stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.